listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
Time to time, I drop line for line, but only time will tell. If I ever go Columbine, a cop 39's a cop I can't kill. See, the truth is, they want to know how close me, Dre, and Snoop is. Or how the shoe fits when the shoe's this to Tupac. But truth is, I give two shits about expectations. The critics hating shit. I just put moms on vacation. Bitch, you never know my new location is across nations. Court cases get thrown out. So tell the motherfucker to dethrone now. I am ruler. I am highness, the prince of Munda. I am these shit like what the prune does. Black on black shit like King Dakota. Black on black bitch, I'm King Dakota. Black on black crime, resent the shooter. Blah, 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 I append the muter. All right. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tells podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we are in the Hizzle on Wednesday. Walking Dead Wednesday, if you ask a lot of people out here.
Yes, sir.
You peeing our pants yet? It's going to be PP Pants City in a second. yeah, we're here. And you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews if you like the show, you know. Tell us so, and we'll read it on the air. If it's less than 5 stars or we don't like what you got to say, we won't read it on the air, because we're petty like that.
Yep, follow instructions.
The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today's show is brought to you by a couple of sponsors. First of all, it's brought to you by Bevel. This episode is brought to you by Bevel, first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out getbevel.com/TBGWT today, and you can get your first month free at getbevel.com. That's getbevel.com/TBGWT. And also, it is brought to you by Loot Crate. This episode is brought to you by Loot Crate, which is a monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT. Blah, blah, blah. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT and enter code TBGWT, and you can save $3 off of any new subscription. For less than $20 a month, you can get 6 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique, one-of-a-kind items, and more. You don't know what it is till you get it. They'll tell you the theme, and then you can kind of hope that you get some cool stuff, and then when you get there, you're like, oh, it's even cooler than I thought. And November's theme is magic, and we'll get into that, later. All right. All right. What kind of stuff are we going to be talking about? I guess we should start with the big news. Karen and I have been friends on Facebook for 7 years, guys.
Can you believe that?
Today is our 7-year friendiversary, guys. I know.
Yes. And you know what? And when the video came up, I watched it. And I think it said we had like 800 and something like interaction. It was like, y'all are really, really good friends.
Yeah, we like a lot of each other's stuff.
Yeah, we do.
We should get married.
Claire, 7 years is a long time. I think we should get married too, sir.
All up in the DMs. So that was just a big milestone. I feel like a lot of people are going to remember that today. Like, I think most people will look back on November 9th, 2016, and the first thing they're gonna think is, man, the day Karen and Rod celebrated 7 years of friendship on Facebook. Because I really feel like you should be friends first.
Yeah, and the thing is that I think you on all the social media sites before me, y'all. I was grandma. I was like, what the fuck? I need
not Snapchat.
Now I beat you to Snapchat.
That is correct.
That's the only one I beat y'all to. Everything right. else you was on way before me.
Yeah, so that's a pretty major.
I've lost a lot of friends, so 7 years we hung in there, sir.
Yeah, so I'm sure that's what all these people in the chat tuned in for, to celebrate with us. And it's like y'all are celebrating too, man.
I know, right? Man,
it's a lot of y'all in the chat today. What is going on? Did something happen?
I don't know. Did something happen?
Last night I watched How to Get Away with Murder and Insecure.
I seen you live tweeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, yesterday.
Played some video games.
I did too. I played Blue Dragon. Which was
the backwards compatibility on the Xbox One.
Yeah, that is fun. A very, very fun game. I know, you know, this is not a nerd off, but I love that fucking video game. And now I get to put 700 more hours in this one.
Yeah, so I don't know. It just seemed like,
yeah, and, now it's gonna be me looking at you going, when is it my turn?
For what?
The Xbox One.
Oh, Jesus Christ, come on, let this go. For what? Just the bedroom? Where are you even gonna put it? How you even gonna use it? It makes no sense. You don't need it back there. You just want to have it just to say you have it.
Yep.
Meanwhile, with the Xbox One, you can just change over profiles by just saying show my stuff. And you are, so you don't even need another one. It's not even like the Xbox 360 where you had to download your profile back in the day. And anytime you want to play it, I just get up and leave and let you play it. I don't,
okay.
You ain't never had a problem with me being like, get off the TV. We only got one Xbox One and it's my turn.
Now since I know how to talk to Cortana, because I used to think Cortana didn't like me, like Siri get the middle finger. I was like, come on, dog, I don't want to find out with you too. But that's because I wasn't talking to her right. You know how you got to talk right to a woman. I was just calling all kinds of names, and she was like, bitch, I don't know you. Hey, Roger, how you doing? So we was about to fall out. So now I finally know how to talk to Cortana right. She talked to me now.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. It's just, you know, it's nothing. I always respect the fact that you work, and you know, when you get home, you have a limited amount of time that you want to do stuff. And you know, I get out of your way. If you want to play games all day, that's your prerogative. You know, we got other TVs in this house that have entertainment on them.
Yes, we do.
It's not an issue. At any rate, I guess, you know, what everybody really wants us to talk about, and I guess we really do have to talk about it is we got the candidate that we deserve. We as sure country
did. Yes, sir.
Donald Trump is gonna be the 45th president of the United States, assuming he doesn't go to jail for child rape.
Yes, he is.
I'll just say this, I've been moving out of people's way and letting them react however they want to react, because I've been seeing a lot of so much animosity, people turning on each other, people flipping out. I mean, I feel like there's so many ways to discuss what happened and how it happened, but I feel like people that listen to this show should not be that surprised.
Mm-mm.
That's my personal belief. I know I wasn't, you know, and the thing is, you know, obviously in a fair, just society, whatever, Hillary Clinton would have won just off of the sheer idea of, like, she's a person that is experienced and knowledgeable and like a super fucking nerd and whatnot, and she kicked his ass into debates and all that kind of shit. But that's not the society we have, you know. It feels like America kind of hit the control alt delete and went back to the default settings of racism and xenophobia and all the shit that the country was founded upon. I think maybe it's because of the way we're taught in school, but a lot of people really do have this belief of America being this melting pot that is inviting and everyone is on equal footing, and if you believe and work hard, you can achieve the quote-unquote American dream, which is typically to get rich. And anyone that pays any bit of attention to history knows that that's a farce. That's never how America's been. It was founded on racism. It was founded on slavery. It was founded on basically double crossing, England. Like, it was like this country, the progress that we've made is amazing, but it's in fits and starts. It's never, you know, it's, slavery, and then you have a civil war, then you have a civil war, then you have reconstruction, you know, you have, segregation, you have civil rights, but then you have people get killed in the struggle for civil rights, you know, people made into martyrs. You know, every time we make progress forward, we have to take those steps back, and I feel like this is the steps back, you know, for the progress that was made under Obama. A lot of that progress under Obama was symbolic, but some of it was tangible, you know, pardoning the most people, you know, lowering the drug laws in certain areas, even the progress with legalizing marijuana to certain extents, the progress with having the Justice Department look into the unjust shootings of black people, a lot of stuff. People felt empowered, you know, to a certain extent. I feel like there wouldn't have been a Black Lives Matter type movement under a different president.
Nope.
Because I think having Barack Obama in office emboldened a lot of people that really felt, well, we have zero shot of anyone caring. And now it's like, well, now's the time to say something, because if it's not under him, then who, right? So I feel like all that stuff kind of comes to a head or whatever, but Donald Trump just campaigned to the worst notions of America, and it was a lot stronger than a lot of people thought. I we do a show where every day we talk about how fucked up America can be.
Yeah, I not at one period of time I underestimated America's racism,
right?
And not at one period of time have I ever said Hillary Clinton was a shoo-in.
Yeah,
like for like, if you don't use a sports phrase, that's why you play the game.
Yeah,
you know, like last night was the game.
Yeah,
you know. And it's just one of those things where, for me, and we said this before, we didn't take him as a joke. Like, yeah, we took him seriously because racism is real. And I've realized, looking at my timeline, a lot of white liberals, quote unquote allies, was shocked. It was like, why, dawg? You got family members and friends that voted for Donald Trump. But, you know, black people and brown people, LGBTQ people, was like, dawg, this is my everyday life. And also, something I realized, and I was kind of dipping into that in Balls Deep, you brought it up, for a lot of people, the only president they ever voted for was Barack Obama. So you have this whole generation of people who they've never been underneath another president. We're older, so we've been under several different presidents. So Trump is like, okay, we're going back to the white dude that doesn't give a fuck about us. We're going back to them slashing Medicaid, slashing Medicare. We're going back to high unemployment rates. Like, we're going back to the shit that we have known before. And there's some industries that are going to boom. If you like work for the government or military, you're going to, this under Trump, you're going to have some of the best years of your life, because that's known to have goes with under Republicans.
Yeah, I think also like, for Hillary, it was always going to be an uphill climb, because essentially the right has had 20 something years to tear her down. Mm-hmm. Like, I think people knew from the time she showed up as first lady and wasn't wearing dresses that her ambition was to be a president. And it's been on ever since, like, you know, blaming her for her husband's infidelities, you know, basically blaming her for being a politician, like, to the essentially the things that many men politicians have been able to use as experience, she's had to use as marks against her. You know, it's like, oh, you got too cozy with big business. And it's like, yeah, well, all the politicians before me have also had ties to big business, but we decided that you're the one who can't, because you're a woman. You know, the idea of she's a liar, but somehow other politicians are all telling the truth, you know. It was that kind of ridiculousness, you know, that I saw, that was just kind of like, oh wow, like, this is totally different for her, you know. That being said, in my lifetime, I've never seen a president that didn't win because they weren't, like, all the presidents that won, and I've said this before, are the quote-unquote cool presidents. And compared to Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump was a cool candidate. Like, he was the one who, like, almost, it was almost like a TV cool, where it's like, I'm so cool I didn't study for the test, I'm just gonna go up here and wing it like a comedian or something. I'm gonna make jokes, I'm gonna make people laugh, people love a spectacle, people want to put me on TV. He was cool in a way that it wasn't like President Barack Obama's coolness, where he was you know, so knowledgeable but also able to not be rattled and spit off these things, and able to, you know, very funny, great time and stuff like that. Something that a lot of people got used to. And you know, he beat out Romney and McCain, two uncool white dudes, you know. When George W. Bush won, it was against Gore and the dude who got swift boated, like, two boring motherfuckers, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, that is essentially, at least in my opinion, that's kind of the barometer for who wins president. It's never that complicated. John Kerry, yeah. It's never as complicated as people try to make it out to be, because we've turned, and especially in the age of social media, we've turned running for president into the biggest reality show. Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump knows how to win a reality show. He knows how to run it, you know? And essentially he was able to galvanize the worst values in people and ride that and give people a way to privately support someone that was a racist and to privately not support a woman running for office. Mm-hmm. Which is why I think all the polls were wrong. Cause I really think if you're going to vote for Trump, you don't want to say that shit in a lot of cases. When you look at the people who are vocal about supporting Trump, you close your eyes, imagine a vocal Trump supporter, and it's immediately somebody you're like, oh, that's an undesirable person. But there's a lot of people that had to go in there and pull the lever that weren't wearing big red trucker hats, and they didn't have American flag apparel, and they didn't wear drive pickup trucks.
Yep. They work regular 9-to-5s. They sit right beside you in your office. They come to work every day. These are people that you are surrounded around all the time. And sexism is real. I don't know why people fail to realize that. Sexism is real. And there are women that vote against their own interests when it comes to women, because there's a large...
No, there are white women.
Oh, yeah?
You have to be particular with that. Because when we're talking about the turnout...
Yeah.
The end results were white women voting mostly against their interest, in the majority for Trump. It wasn't even like it was just a high percentage. Like, no, the most of them voted for Trump.
Yes, they did.
So it's not just, women, you know, black women, I believe, voted 94% or something like that. Yes. And it made it seem like, well, women voted in a high percent, like a women voted at 54% for Hillary or something, but it wasn't. It was, take out black women, and it's like, no, it wasn't that way at all. You know, even Latinas and other people, like, it wasn't as high as black women. Like, right. Black, like, that was one thing you can almost put in the bank, is like,
we eclipsed everybody.
Black women will do their best to push us from the brink with some common sense, while everybody else is being idealistic and pie in the sky and very judgmental of other people and shit. You know, black women did what was practical and said, well, look, these are the choices. I'd rather get 4 years of her than 4 years of an open bigot, you know. But not a lot of people don't feel like they have as much to lose in a lot of cases. And then also you know, because of how outstanding Barack Obama has been, and I don't give a fuck if you care about his policies or not,
right,
you don't have someone better to talk about. That's the, like, the point of the fact is, everything that people down him for not doing would have been unprecedented anyway. Like, he didn't stop war. Okay, well, who's the president that did that? You know what I mean? Like, you know, and there were certain intangible things, or maybe they were tangible, but, you know, the fact that you have a guy who's a diplomat, a person that you can, you know, when people think of your country, they think, oh, that country's got it together, because look who they have representing them.
We're willing to negotiate with you.
Yeah, like, he was able to have diplomacy without talking about, you know, I'm gonna blow up this thing, and I'm gonna nuclear bomb this motherfucker and all this shit. And he was able to do those things, and the office is the office, so there will always be some tough choices you make. There's gonna always be some truths and some compromises that have to be made. But everyone who campaigns for the office always campaigns on these, like, unrealistic, I would never compromise, all you gotta do is tell them to do that. And I think Trump was a perfect example of just saying what it takes, and then anybody that questions it, it's like, well, I already know the answer, it's too easy, you guys just can't figure it out, you know. And I think all of them do that to varying degrees, but he was probably the most like, I don't even need to research this, I just know you guys are the dicks, you know. So I think, you know, on the left, you had people that got real comfortable. Mm-hmm. But, you know, especially people who are, like, really left. Like, they assumed that the country would continue to head in a very left way. They think President Obama was too centrist, as if the other half of the country doesn't care or doesn't count. They think his initiatives were not enough, and you know, even when with stuff, they don't really care about the opposition and him being they have like almost like a freshman 101 political theory ideas of politics, where it's like, he said this, why didn't he just get it done? And it's like, well, there's all these factors. There's the most obstinate Congress and House ever. You know, there's the fake supermajority that he started with. There's the economy that was strapped to him that he pretty much, to a certain extent, fixed. I know it's not perfect, and the job numbers aren't the numbers. They aren't the realest, you know, real numbers or whatever, because of how jobs have changed. But these were all things that were considered impossible when he took the job. And of course, everyone Monday morning quarterbacked him. And I feel like our generation currently is so me. There was a time when if your opinion was widely heard, it was because you kind of earned it, you were in a position to spread it. You work for this newspaper, okay. Oh, you write for so-and-so's website. Oh, you're on this TV channel. And now we all are celebrities in our own minds. We have social media platforms, we have podcasting, we have blogs, we have you know, the standards for writing for a journalistic outpost on the internet has lowered substantially. You know, hey, I just like to work for your blog, would you come work write for us? You know, so I feel like our generation just kind of hit this or this time period, whatever, it just really hit the one area where it was the perfect storm, because we all feel like our actions matter, and they have to be unique and different and make statements. And we're not really, like, voting is a process that is not that.
Mm-mm. No, it's not.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just, that's why I said it's not really much to discuss, because there's nothing interesting you really can do with a vote.
Nope, that hasn't been done before.
You can either not vote, you can vote Democrat, you can vote Republican, or you can vote third party, or maybe you can write someone in, but there's nothing interesting. Like, in the aggregate, when you add everything up at the end of the day, one of the two big parties wins, so nothing really is accomplished. But I feel like people got so comfortable with a competent president, you know, that really was open to a lot of criticism, in some ways I'll never understand his makeup, because he doesn't really defend himself, which that's something that we're not going to see for a long time. But he's very much just like, hey, if people want to be critical, I understand, and this is that, to the point where I'm sure that he even looks at the racist ass Trump voters and he's like, well, there's some merit there and they have some legitimate concerns and we should do that. Like, he's that kind of, it's ridiculous how he's like that. But I think a lot of people took that shit for granted, and they either didn't show up to vote this time because there wasn't a statement to be made voting for Hillary Clinton in a lot of their eyes, you know.
Yeah, that, and also when you talked about Trump, he riled his base up, and Hillary,
they were making a statement. I'm only talking about the left now, right? So I'm not even talking about the right yet. Okay. I think it's obvious what happened on the right. Mm-hmm. The statement was, we don't want a nigger president, and this woman is going to extend that dude's his policies. And that coalition behind Hillary Clinton became synonymous with all the things they hate. We don't like Muslims, we don't like black people, we don't like gay people, we don't want women making decisions. Like, it was all just like, that was a rallying cry behind them.
Yes, and also I do think that you have to excite your base, and that's something Hillary Clinton did not do.
Yeah,
and that affected,
she excited white too. She excited left-leaning white women.
Okay,
you know what I mean? Like, she was their Beyonce.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, she excited them, but in general she's not exciting because she's been around for 20 years, she's run and lost before, she's not that charismatic, and while I think she would have done a bang up job, mm-hmm. whenever a woman's trying to be ambitious and go for something, society in mass does not really fuck with them. So that's not surprising that there was so much backlash towards her. You know, some of the critiques I heard leveled at her in this election, it just sounded ridiculous because, right, you know, there was the alternative was essentially Trump winning. So, it was like everyone, but we're in a generation where everyone feels really self-important and has to like have the different hot take. You know, everyone feels like they're endorsing a candidate. That's how it is now. Like before, you used to vote for a candidate, but right, now you feel like people would, I've seen people ask on Twitter, like, so who are you officially doing this? I'm like, I'm just a dude on Twitter. You know, they asked Bomani. Bomani's just a guy. He's just a guy. He's one vote. He doesn't do a political show. You know, it's interesting to see the way that society changed over that period of time, you know?
Yeah, and me voting for you does not mean I agree with every fucking thing that you do.
But still, the endorsement idea appeals to a lot of people, because it feels more important than just, I'm gonna go to the booth and vote. Does it really matter? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is between me and the booth. Who I vote for.
Yeah.
That's not important. That doesn't feel important. That's not that's not a 7-paragraph thing on Facebook. That's not a,
I see. Well, yeah.
That's okay. Not an hour long podcast. That's not a, stand up special. That's mm-hmm. not a, it, like the attention that the average person now covets is like, and can get is different. And I think people feel more inclined to make these statements and more inclined to have these grand gestures, and the grand gestures get the most attention. Like, look at who gets the most attention. It's the, I ain't voting for her. She got, you know, you got mm-hmm. to, you better do more if you want my vote because you ain't getting it. Or the, fuck them, just let Trump get it. And then you get all the, nah, man, you can't say that, da, da. And that's all I'm saying. We're still talking about just the left.
Right.
Like, that's the people. And so I think a lot of people feel like I'm making a statement with this when, you know, there was no real statement to be made, you know. So, and then, like I said, the backlash towards President Obama was a lot of white people, some uber left black people feeling like disappointed, and he tricked me, and I thought we were gonna get hope and change, and you know, weird,
right,
amorphous concepts that I think
didn't make sense to
me. Yeah, maybe being older.
Yeah, I think
I felt like, well, obviously that's silly,
right,
to think that, but they really did, you know. I've talked to people that I respect that really seem like they bought into this idea that just electing this man and sitting back and doing nothing was just going to change the entire country.
And it don't work like that. It really, really don't work like that. It's like,
it's a grand gesture, but right, it's no, that's it. If you then don't turn out for midterms, if you then right, don't, you know, get it politically involved, right, then it's kind of like nothing really happened. He can only do so much by himself, but
correct.
I think people got disenchanted over those 8 years to a certain extent. Not a lot of people, but just enough, you know, enough people that, you know, if you look at the Democratic Party, you've been losing for 8 years, you know, while you have this figurehead and the president, you don't put any power behind him. You know, Republicans won at the House. They won at the Senate.
Yes, they did.
And they're going to win at the Supreme Court mm-hmm. because they were able to, so far, hold off that, pushing that judge through.
Mm-hmm.
And they've just been the party of folding their arms and saying no, 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 eroding his power bit by bit. And this is a man that, while a good, decent, earnest man, he's more of a compromiser. Like, he's not the gung-ho, I'm gonna make y'all do what I say, like a lot of people felt that he would be. I'm not sure why they felt he would be, but they definitely felt he would be, and I right, think that's the reality of it. So it's been, you know, I feel like he campaigned and he spoke the entire time about compromise and about crossing the aisle and about and I think everyone kept waiting for him to break and be like, well, fuck them, they not gonna help, I'm gonna do it myself,
and
you know.
He never did, and he told you what he was gonna do, and then people's like, well, why don't you go out there and stomp on them? You like, he never told y'all he was gonna do this. Where's these unrealistic expectations coming from?
Well, I think he just legitimately believes that. Like, I think people were kind of hoping that maybe it was some bullshit or he just need to say that to get elected, but I think he legitimately believes that. So this to me is more of a referendum on his presidency and his support, because on the left, what happened was he lost a lot of supporters who either A, voted because I'm make sure we're post-racial and I voted for the first black president and I cried and it's all over for me. Damn, why these black people keep complaining? Okay, that's it. I'm not voting no more. Fuck it. Right. I tried. Why didn't he get universal health care passed and all this kind of shit? And they just opted out. Fuck it. I'm going to go occupy Wall Street and get the fuck out of here. Mm-hmm. And I think for a large part, a lot of that crowd didn't come back out to vote. Because mm-hmm. I want to say voting was down like 10 million or something like that. It was a lot.
I believe that.
And then, on the other hand, I think when it comes to Hillary Clinton, she was not able to galvanize people the way he was. Mm-mm. And she became, a victim to the super high expectations that Barack Obama had built, for himself. And even the people that are detractors of him, I think would have to admit that the things they wanted from him are also super high expectations that you're never going to get from, in my opinion, a white candidate ever. Mm-hmm. Just some of the shit they were able to get, I was like, that's unprecedented, but it's not going to be enough for them. You know, when she's talking about taking on white supremacy and, starting with the school system, ending privatized prisons and shit. And as long as you can just go, she lied, then there's no point. Then what are you even asking her for? Why are you even paying attention to politics? Because essentially you're just going to undermine everything she says. With she said what we pressed her to say and came up with a plan, with the plan we pressed her to have. And then as soon as she says it, I did some bullshit, she lying. So it was really no way to win over those people. Because I really think they had become just disenchanted and just felt like I'm not voting for her mm-hmm. anyway, you know, or I'll vote begrudgingly. And that kind of attitude is not going to win you the presidency.
Right.
So I think a lot of it was that. And, there's also just, I mean, in all fairness, the country not as left as people think.
No, it is not.
You know, it's like how, you know, I read an article on Twitter and I have cited this a few times on the show, but it's that bubble thing where, they tell you like only 1-3%, less than 1%. It was less than 1% of tweets, are about race on Twitter. Less than 1%. Think about your timeline experience, person that listened to this show.
Right.
What does it look like? If it looks like race is coming up a lot, that's how small your bubble is. You know what I mean? And when I've brought that up a few times on the show, wow. Because when you think about it, it's like, damn.
All these thousands of tweets that I see that constantly get retweeted, and it's only 1%.
Yeah, shit can trend, and it's still, you know, that's like breaking the mold. But for the most part, people that talk about race is a very small fraction of Twitter. What happens is we are in that Twitter sphere, you know? Yeah. And I think, it causes like, a bit of delusions of grandeur to a certain extent. You know, it's, you know, we drug so-and-so today because she said blankety blank. And it's like, yeah. But in the scheme of things, it really wasn't some major story, you know? And, you know, it's why wasn't the media covering this and shit? But it's cause it really wasn't that many people engaging in this, you know? And over the time, especially with social media, while it's caused people to gather up and kind of like present their power and organize and stuff, it's also done the same thing for people that are bigots and shit like that. I think a lot of this response is a direct response to the fact that there was a mobilization, for pro-blackness in this country over the last 4 years, 3 to 4 years.
Yep.
A lot of white people have either silently or loudly or through trolling in the comment section and shit, they have really, resented this.
Yes, they have.
And I think this vote was a vote for a lot of them to be like, we tired of y'all talking about this shit.
Mm-hmm. Like that's gonna make it go away.
Yeah, it won't make it go away, but it's a statement. We want to elect an open racist person. We want you to know that You know, while we might not be engaging in all these arguments and shit or what, you know, whatever, we want you to know that, like, we are back, quote unquote. Like, you can't get rid of us yet. Now, I personally think these are the death throes, of a lot of basically white people who are numbers wise starting to lose power.
What do you mean death throes?
Like? I think this is like the counterpunch. It's not okay. I don't think this, like, a lot of people went, I don't know how the Democratic Party goes on from this. I don't think it's even all that. This feels a lot like Clinton for me. Mm-hmm. Now, that was when I was listening to a lot of conservative radio and stuff, you know, to kind of,
how we got George W. Bush.
Yeah, but I just remember when Clinton, during his second term at the end, and people running away from him, Democrats not want to be seen with him,
right?
The stigma of scandal around him. Meanwhile, he had a very strong economy at the time. Obviously, over the years, it kind of eroded, and there was some bullshit with that. But in general, there was no reason to run away from him other than this scandal with Monica Lewinsky, and Democrats did run away from him, and a lot of them lost their seats.
Yes, they did.
George W. Bush ended up winning, you know, because I think it was Gore at the time, you know, he wasn't really campaigning with Clinton. He didn't want Clinton out there stomping for him. He was, you got this scandal on you, you know. They weren't really proud of his legacy that he had passed down, which in immediate hindsight, it was a great legacy to pass down.
True.
You know, it was one of the better baton passes, right?
Right. Of that time, yes.
Yeah, and I think in a lot of ways, Barack Obama's had one of the better baton passes of our lives. And I still remember the animosity that a lot of people had towards Clinton, and it was palpable. You know, it was just a lot of rage, a lot of, you know, they saw him as actually helping black people out, whether black people really would agree or not. You know, I think in hindsight, many wouldn't agree.
Correct.
But at the time, a lot of black people felt, oh yeah, these reforms are helping us out. This getting our streets clean, getting these people off our streets who are committing crimes and the drug addiction and drug dealing, we got to get that shit gone. This guy is a real big force for the black community. Thank you. He's a black president, blah, blah, blah. And
yeah, I heard a lot of that back then, right?
Right. And I think because of that, there was a lot of resentment towards him, like, fuck this guy, you know, who does he think he is, and fuck these black people that like him and all this shit. And so George W. Bush ended up winning, and that's kind of how this feels for me, is like, yeah, we had a very progressive start to a very Democrat liberal start to a 8-year term, and then 2 years in, same thing happened to Clinton. The House and Senate and shit got way more Republican.
Right.
There was a lot of gridlock, a lot of stopping him. He had to move all of his shit to even more toward the center to get anything passed. Mm-hmm. People have eroded history. A lot of them weren't alive for the time, or they didn't remember.
Yeah.
But I remember him having to compromise his ideals that he campaigned on, or else he wouldn't have got legislation passed.
Correct.
And so then now his presidency is looked back, at least by black people, as like, oh, he just sold us up the river or whatever. But like I said, once again, a dude that didn't get the support at the midterms, at reelection, a lot of people didn't think he was going to get the reelection. So even then it was like, I don't know if we should run on his campaign legacy. I don't know if we should run on his presidency. Maybe we should run away from him as well. And then much like Barack Obama, he basically got reelected without these motherfuckers. You know, it's like, okay, well, I'm still box office bank. Like, maybe everyone's not popular. Congress, Senate, Supreme Court, me.
Right.
Maybe everyone's not popular, but I'm the most popular of you unpopular motherfuckers.
Right.
So I'm gonna continue to win.
That's what you do.
And essentially, that's what Barack Obama ended up doing as well. So many of these parallels happen, but I think when the left wins, they get fractured. It's just what happens with the left.
Yeah.
The left isn't like Republicans. Like,
no, Republicans, they unified.
Yeah, when Republicans win, they continue to win typically because they will still stick together to the death.
Yes,
to a certain extent, that's normally when they fuck up and fall off. It's because they stuck with somebody who was an idiot, but out of just, we're gonna stick with them until the American people go, okay, you guys do not have this figured out.
Right.
I don't feel enthusiastic about voting for you. But the Democrats are different. Democrats, I think, split. You know, because essentially this big tent ass party is a bunch of people that are typically single issue voters. And if they're not single issue voters, they prioritize their shit first.
Yes.
And that's only human nature. But it's the necessity of what this party is. You have black people. We care about getting shot in the streets. We care about institutionalized racism. We care about the systemic issues involving race, you know, things of this nature. That's always our number one priority. You know, you have a lot of women who care about wage equality, but many of them are like, I care about my wage equality. So if I'm at 73 cent on the dollar, I care about my 73 cent on the dollar. If I'm at 68 cent, I care about my 68 cent. If I'm at 50 cent, I care about my 50 cent. But as far as caring about everybody, nah. You know, LGBT people, you know, we saw that split this 2 years ago when marriage equality passed, but yet there was an activist who was a trans woman who was also a Latina who was like, hey, y'all still holding trans people in detention centers and putting them in the wrong facilities for their sexual orientation, and it's leading to abuse. What are y'all gonna do about this? And you could see the other the LG in the room switch and be like, boo, shut up, why you making all this noise?
Right,
this our day to celebrate.
Right. The rest of the letters don't matter, but we say them all together for a reason.
Right. But that's the reality of the Democratic Party. You know, there's the get money out of politics people that, you know, that's their main thing, and they're over here with the Democrats, so they're gonna vote third party, and that's their number one issue. But for the most part, those people are mostly white people. Those are the people that as soon as Bernie's out, they're like, I'm gonna vote for Trump then, or I'm not gonna vote at all, or I'm gonna vote for Gary Johnson or Jill Stein, because fuck y'all. Like, it's a collection of a bunch of sparsely connected human beings, and what happens when you win is they start to coast, and the things that you want more start to be the higher priority just for you. Mm-hmm. And it's fuck everybody else's thing. And I think it's only human nature that it breaks apart every 4 to 8 years, because you can only keep these alliances for so long, you know. For example, when it comes to like black issues, right, we care about Black Lives Matter, we care about police violence and stuff like that. Essentially, for a large part, and I think you won't get many black people to admit this, they are looking to the president to kind of solve racism. It's not realistic. Mm-hmm. Most of them would never admit that,
but they are.
Many wouldn't even admit that the biggest gripe is that it cannot be solved by any one person, any law. There's nothing you can do. It takes on a different insidious form every time.
Yes, sir.
But we'll get so bogged down in that, you know, we have people that are super pro-black and like, I'm gonna put the pressure on Obama. I'm gonna put the pressure on Hillary. But then it's like, okay, in North Carolina, for instance, they pass a law where you can't use a restroom, unless it's the gender you were born. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people like, I'm super pro-black, but yeah, I don't care about that. You know, I don't want no man peeing in the girl's bathroom. They might rape somebody. Like, I know people like that.
That's not their top priority.
You know, I know people, I know black men. I talk to them every Saturday. They get personally offended if you talk about McCrory's racism or voter suppression, but not when you bring up issues about, you know, bathroom laws. They're completely on board with that. To me, that's the Democratic Party in a nutshell.
Right.
Like, that's, everyone's like that to some extent. And when you win, and you coast, and you feel in your bubble, these small bubbles we have on the internet, that you will continue to gravitate towards the left as a country, because you start thinking, my friends are the country, my Twitter is the country, my Facebook is the country. Keeping in mind, you've probably been blocking eggs every single day of your life.
Right.
But in your mind, you start to associate the people and the conversations you have with conversations the country is having, and it's not. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? Like, the country is so much more center. We've talked about it on the show before when people go in on Barack Obama on something, and I'm like, well, when he talked about this, he couldn't, like, cops get killed. People like, I don't appreciate him bringing up that people killing the cops is wrong. Yeah, well, this is not a country where the president can go speak after cops get killed and just pretend that it, hey, shit happens. It's just not that country.
No, it's not.
We'll never, ever, ever have that country. He could do the opposite. And I think we'll start to see that under Trump. He could do the opposite, which is a black person gets shot by the cops and he just shows up and goes, well, shit happens, or I'm not going to talk about this. Mm-hmm. You know, cops did the right thing. We'll start to see that.
Act like that shit never exists, because y'all fail to realize. And also what's going to happen too is that a lot of coverage that the Black Lives Matter movements and all these people, the news ain't going to be flocking and showing videos and all that stuff like they used to. And CNN was like, we getting rid of all the niggas, because they was like, hey, we know we're not going to have a black president. Why are we going to waste our time with these black pundits talking about shit that, quote unquote, nobody wants to hear no more?
Yeah, it's just, you know, I expect, you know, when you have Rudy Giuliani as, you know, replacing Loretta Lynch. You know, when we have these type of things, I think we'll see people, I think people are going to be like, man, I miss the Barack Obama, but more importantly, you're going to miss his administration. An administration that was filled with black women, by the way. you know, I just laugh because I remember this very, like I said, it's a social media era. I think this low information ass voter who was trying to win the woke Olympics against me was on some like, oh, because I said, oh, Hillary Clinton's campaign has the most black women employed ever. Mm-hmm. In her campaign. And it was like, she's like, well, as soon as she gets in office, she's just gonna fire them all and get rid of them. I said, well, Barack Obama didn't do that. And they just went, you sure? And I was like, bitch, you could have googled that. That's not a fucking hard thing to find out. It's literally wasn't, I went and found the article within like 5 seconds, because I just,
they don't care.
Because I think Ebony did a write-up and it was like the 30 women in the White House, and you could go through each one and be like, oh, Valerie Jarrett and this and the other. You could go through each one and be like, oh yeah, that's a black woman, that's a black woman, these are positions that black women had never held at the time, things of this nature. And I'm not even saying that necessarily Hillary would continue that. My point is, you didn't even know Barack Obama did do that. So how the fuck can you be so upset when you don't even like verify your own facts? You just assume the worst and leave it at that.
Facts don't matter. We live in a society where facts don't fucking matter anymore.
Yeah, so, you know, but it's how everybody feels and shit like that. So people feel a certain way, and they're valid, you know, fine, that's, you're valid to feel that way. But I think all those feelings kind of combine to like an apathy, and a lot of people being ashamed and shaming people because of their like purity, these purity playoffs they playing on Twitter.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if someone says, yeah, I really think Hillary Clinton is competent and will do a great job and she's overqualified for this job, and it's like, you sell out Coon, Uncle Tom, blah blah blah, within the black sphere of wokeness, you know, it's people that are just basically saying, well, she is a better candidate than Donald Trump, and it's, they both the same, this is why I'm not voting and shit like that. And people just really went in on each other. And like I said, it's gonna be a lot of friendships that I don't know how people salvage it or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, good luck to everyone with that shit. I'm not, I'm not really into that. But right.
If we parted because of that, we will never get back together again. That relationship is done.
Yeah, but my guess is that it'll just take 2 to 8 years of Donald Trump. And because not just Donald Trump, he also has the House and the Senate. He's also gonna be able to pick all the judges. It's just gonna take all that for people to get their shit together. Yeah. You know, I'm not like, people really feel like hopeless and shit. To me, this just feels like the cycle. Maybe that's just being alive this long now.
Yeah, we're older. Yes. Yeah,
so I'm able to say I saw this once before. It feels pretty much the same. Mm-hmm. You know, it's obviously more, it's more intense this time because the dude is just an open bigot.
Right, when before it was just a song and dance, and what people fail to realize, we are the same country that voted in an actor. So why would you not think we would vote in somebody like Donald Trump? We're the same people that a wrestler won like state senate, governor, house, or something like that. Like, what make you think that we would not vote for Donald Trump?
Yeah.
And put him in office? You know, like, we are the country, like I said, it's a popular vote. And he quote unquote was more popular.
Yeah, I mean, It's what it is, man. Like I said, I've been saying it for a while, we'll get the candidate we deserve. I would never think this nation is above this. You know, I was kind of surprised that anyone thought we were above this.
But there were a lot of people that thought that.
Yeah.
Because I just, you know, just reading, you could just feel the pain from people, like just their hurt. Yeah,
I've been reading a lot of people.
Yeah, and that's kind of what's been affecting me more, because I'm technically fine, but, you know, just reading everybody else stuff, I was like, oh, okay, like this stuff really hit y'all. Like, I was like, I never thought that this could not be a possibility. I was like, well, yeah, he could win because we're just that dumb as a country.
Yeah, I don't think it's not even about dumb. Okay, so let's talk about the right, because I think that's pretty much all I have to say about the left. I mean, I do got one more thing to say about the left. Motherfuckers need to stop blaming each other.
Right.
It's really nobody's fault that voted for Hillary Clinton. Anybody. You're blaming the wrong people. You know what I mean? Like when you're looking at other black people and being like, why'd you write in a vote? You're wasting your breath. The 13,000 people that did not lose this election. The black people that voted third party didn't lose this election. The people in general who voted third party didn't lose this election, if we're being honest, because the assumption is that there was no third party on the ballot, all those motherfuckers would vote Democrat. They wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Newsflash, many of them can't stomach the social issues of the Republican Party, and that's the only reason they vote for Gary Johnson. But if they had to hold their nose and pull the lever for somebody, more than likely they are pulling the lever for a Republican.
Come on.
You know, that's kind of how the Mark Lamont Hill idea that we're going to come up with a very left-leaning third party that somehow has a progressive agenda that can combine all the people on the left and really get us somewhere. That shit is not happening. That is literally, I hate to say it, it is fucking impossible. It's not enough people. Mm-hmm. There's not enough people that are that left. And I think and maybe it's because of the little circles we can create on social media. Many people believe this. That is such a false notion. You get crushed even worse. You would get it. They're like the people who wanted Bernie to run third party because he lost to Hillary. That's basically the effect you would have. A small amount of people would go over there that would have voted Democrat, just putting the Democrats in an even worse position. They would not move their party all the way to the left, because many people would just leave the fucking party. I mean, you would probably reset shit for decades, to be quite honest. Because a lot of people would just be like, well, then I'm a person without a home, or I'm just going over to the right because fuck it. The idea that there's this left-leaning party that wants to abolish prison and, pay reparations and stop all war and still have 50-something% of the population vote for them, or even win enough electoral votes, it's so crazy. It's honestly like how we live in a city in Charlotte and we're kind of in a bubble of Democrats. Mm-hmm. But if I just drive 30 minutes, I'm in some fucking, you know, trucker hat, vote, make America great again, mm-hmm. Confederate flag area.
Yes, sir.
And so many people seem to be disillusioned with this, or they just seem to really think they can exist in that world where everyone just agrees with their ideas. And they just don't understand. No, people don't like your ideas. They do not want to live in that world. You know, like, they get turned off by this shit, you know? People get turned off by being pushed too much to the left all the time. You know, people, quote unquote, well-meaning people and shit. So, but I'm not saying that that's right. I'm saying it's a reality you have to deal with. So you're not going to get the super left party that can also win. You can get a super left party. Yeah, shit. You can do the Jill Stein thing. You can show up every 4 years, say everything that a liberal message board would want to hear, and then get a couple million votes and be like, oh, look what we did. But beyond that, you're not really going to have an effect. So I don't think any of that's going to happen. I just think what happens is, under the Republican rule, you'll end up with people feeling so disenfranchised, so powerless, so hurt, so angry, they'll go out and vote for Democrats in 2 to 4 to 8 years. I think that's it, you know.
And like you said, it seems like a cycle, and the thing is,
people are valid and people can feel however the way they feel. And I know me, I've been allowing people to feel however they meant to feel. And I think a lot of, like you said, a lot of the friction, a lot of the frustration, which is very, very valid, yeah, is coming out all across social media. And because we live in a society where it's the social part of social media is not always good, because you always have people coming in and just saying things and just not allowing people to go through whatever emotions that they did.
Yeah, I saw a lot of like, y'all need to suck it up. Right. Don't grieve. Why y'all being sad? Look, man, for a lot of women, this is a huge milestone.
Right.
I know when I went to vote and saw her name on the ballot, I was kind of like, wow, this is a big moment. You know, like a woman might become president. You know, that's like, that's still a huge thing. We've had women on the ballot before. We've never had a woman where it was like she could win. This is a huge thing. This is the closest a woman's ever come to being president. You know, and there's women of all races that can identify with that. They can identify with the treatment she got, things of this nature, you know, the double standard she was under, where she was tried as a criminal, while the other dude was treated like a celebrity. You know, like he actually was a criminal who's actually been, who's actually going on trial for child rape, you know, like, you know, that kind of shit. This, like, she was treated as like the Scarlet Witch, you know, with the Scarlet letter A on her. And he was kind of treated as just this affable guy. You know, the media was enthralled with him. You know, he was big ratings, you know, he didn't have to spend as much on commercials and campaigning. He just knew how TV worked better than anyone else. You know, the Republicans kind of laid out a platform that would lend itself exactly to what he wanted to do. So, it, for the most part, I think when we are looking at like debates and we're going, what a competent answer she just had. What a well thought out, nuanced response. I think a lot of the country is going, what a bitch. I don't like her. Mm-hmm. She's not smiling enough. She's not this. Her voice is that. Her, you know, and I think much of the media is complicit in that shit. They would rather discuss scandals that aren't scandals because they make better news. You know, saying these emails were hacked by Russia and that's a fucking shame and there's not much in these things is not gonna get you a lot of it's not gonna get you a lot of people watching. But saying, oh, day three of the emails, well, is there something in them, is there not, we don't know, look at this email, they had a sentence in which they said, man, Bernie Sanders gets on my nerves, clearly that it's a rigged election. And then when Trump runs with it, they go, well, why is he acting like it's a rigged election? It's like, well, you're complicit, you're helping. You know, someone hit us up on Twitter and said, I'm thankful for y'all show because y'all never really covered this guy's antics every day. Y'all didn't think it was funny. It wasn't a joke to you. Mm-mm. And it's still not a joke, you know, but yeah, it's so I just think that all these things combined, and you know, a lot of women probably felt kinship towards this big moment and just get the carpet pulled from under you, and they're gonna be grieving. Why wouldn't they?
Right. That and the biggest thing, particularly because I'm a black woman, particularly black women, the thing that irritated me is that for some reason black women in particular can never mourn, ever mourn.
Right.
Anytime black women in mass mourn about something that is not wrapped around a black man's life, it becomes a goddamn issue.
Right.
And black women were mourning because this affected them in a lot of ways. You have a lot of dudes, not trying to be funny, who didn't give a fuck. A lot of dudes that a misogynistic, and they, some of, not all, but percentage of them did vote for Donald Trump because they were like, fuck that bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a lot of women that were hurt because for women, particularly black women, they know and they can see, particularly if they know their history, they know that a lot of shit that he does can directly impact their lives more than any other group across the board, because we vote in droves. So since we vote at such a high clip, odds are we know about the shit we're voting on. We don't vote at this high rate and not know what the fuck we're voting on, what the fuck we're voting about.
Mm-hmm.
And you have these women who go, okay, now I have to worry about my birth control, now I have to worry about insurance rates going up, am I going to be insured, you know, now I have to, you know, worry about, you know, if I'm LGBTQ, you know, if all of a sudden am I going to still be legally be able to be married to my rate and get these rights and all that, like the feeling is real. And I think that it's an insult to tell them to get over it, because all black women have been told all their lives is to get over shit. Everything that directly impacts us, we've always been told to get over it. We're not allowed to cry, we're not allowed to mourn, we're not allowed to process shit, we're not allowed to go through emotions, we're supposed to be strong all the time, we're supposed to stand up all the time, we're supposed to hold everybody up all the time. But I think it's okay to allow black women to mourn, mm-hmm. and to go through the process, whatever that process is. And my thing is, you know, when we see other people do it, what do? We normally come, because most women are empathetic. They come, have empathy and sympathy. They come, they reach out. They go, oh, baby, it's going to be all right. I'm here to support you. Let's talk about it. You know, let's work this out. But when it comes to our hurt, and when it comes to our pain, and when it comes to the things that we go through, it's fucking crickets. We only got each other a lot of times. And sometimes we turn our back on each other on certain issues. So for a lot of women, they just felt alone today. They just felt really, really alone. And I just happen to be in a working environment that, you know, I can kind of keep to myself. But a lot of people, a lot of women, black women, went through it today, and they had to be around people that were boastful, people that were proud of the shit, and it affected them in a lot of different ways. And, you know, and when you go to social media, for some people, social media is their only outlet for a lot of people is social media, because they can't be free in their everyday to day life. And so I'm like, just let people be and let them mourn however long that takes. And, you know, stop telling people to get over it.
Yeah. I mean, also in a large part, this was black women's campaign too.
Right.
And a lot of people don't want to recognize that, but the work and the sweat equity was put into this campaign, especially on social media, some of her questions, some of her stances. She was surrounded by black women that helped form her, because it's not like she's this great candidate that just gets everything. She definitely doesn't understand race. I mean, how could she? You know what I mean? Like, I think only because of Barack Obama and Michelle Obama and, you know, that whole experience, do people even expect a Democratic candidate to truly understand things about race. Like, we become so fucking spoiled. There's a certain level where a white person will never understand. Not in this country, especially not a rich white person. They'll never understand what it's like to be black. You know, it's almost unfair to expect them to understand it on the level of a black person. But that was the new bar that was set for a lot of people, which is cool. I'm glad that they kept up that intensity. I was worried that people would drop it, but I'm glad they kept up the high bar, because some of the things they want Barack Obama to think, to me, are just fucking intellectually impossible. But the things that they wanted her to feel were also intellectually impossible, if not more so, because she just doesn't have that lived experience, you know. And so you have a lot of people that see that, you know, they dislike her, distrust her, or they are so anti-woman or whatever, they're so just bent on proving how pure they are, that they have allowed that to kind of corrupt their vision to the point where it's like, well, look, she ain't perfect, and I figured it out, guys. And it's like, well, none of the candidates were perfect. You would, you know, and you have your candidate of choice that you give your pass to, but none of the candidates, all of them were white people. All of them were either, unless they're the Republicans, they were, all the people on the left were white. All the people on the left were career politicians. All the people on the left had some spotted checkered history, you know, from that Mike, well, I don't remember his last name, to be honest. The dude from Baltimore. I mean, come on. He was from Baltimore. He was the mayor. That's ridiculous. Like, Bernie Sanders voting for the crime bill, Hillary Clinton supporting the crime bill. It was just, they were gonna all be milquetoast on race. It was just a matter of, we're from a generation that understands that that's kind of par for the course, and you hold your nose, you vote for your candidate,
right?
You know, because the opposite is worst. Like, you don't, it's worse. You don't want to deal with the worst. I just think there's a lot of people that haven't had that reality, and this is their time. This is their George W. Bush. This is their time to go through it and to see how fucking embarrassing, how these policies can hurt people, how to watch Barack Obama's legacy eroded and erased in many ways, to watch things be repealed, because this isn't like this isn't gonna be like what it was with Obama, where, well, yeah, he's president, but the House and the Senate are against him. There's only so much he can do. It's not gonna be like that.
Mm-mm. He gonna, and shit gonna fly through it. Everything's gonna get passed.
Yeah, like, you're not gonna, you know, have
any roadblocks. The Congress is, quote unquote, Congress and Senate, guess what, it's gonna run like the fuck it's supposed to now.
You know, they would love, I mean, I don't know how they're gonna do it exactly, but they can't wait to repeal Obamacare. Mm-hmm. They can't wait. And you know, and while people complain about the fact that it's not perfect and some of these costs were going up, and, you know, it was, I think it was booby trapped that way on purpose for hoping that you pass the football to another president who goes, well, people are dependent on this health care. I won't get rid of it. I'll figure a way out to pay for these premiums so that it's not cost restrictive and the American people can get it, because they're hoping that that would force the hand of the American people and the politicians to go to single payer. It wasn't a bad plan, especially considering that he was hamstrung with with the Congress and the Senate that refused to back him on this. Mm-hmm. You know, that was willing to let the government go fucking, remember when they made the government shut down? Mm-hmm. Like, they were willing to do these things that were unprecedented to make sure that he wasn't able to pass something that would last forever. That being said, what, so then 20 million people just don't have insurance now?
Right.
Like, that was a better solution to you?
Right. And my thing is this. For those of you that are older like me, do you remember, most of us remember how, what a pre-existing condition was. Pregnancy was what fell up underneath that. People remember having caps where you get too sick, they be like, nah, you get too sick, you hit a cap, they drop you from the policy. You know, now they can't turn you away. They have to insure you. For a lot of people, their rates haven't gone up in a few years because everybody, you have more people in the pool, so it makes everybody's rates go down.
Right.
So what's going to happen now is everybody's rates going to go up and up and up to pretty soon most people won't even be able to fucking afford health care.
I mean, look at people forget that this was only a solution to a problem that was already spiraling out of control.
Right.
You know, like, the premiums were already going up even if you had a job. Health insurance is getting more and more restrictive. You know, many people are uninsured and they just go to the emergency room. They get hit with these huge, huge bills. Then they leave. They don't, like, they can either declare bankruptcy or they just don't pay the shit, or you give a fake name or something. And now the hospital is somewhere trying to figure out how the fuck do we pay for that. You know, medicine is for profit in America. It's not, this isn't like a lot of countries. So the things get astronomical. The prices get ridiculous. Insurance companies deny you for having pre-existing conditions.
Right.
All that shit's coming back, man.
Yes,
so
sir.
It's just, you know, it's just that, like, it's easy to forget for the left, I think. It's just easy to forget because it's like you assume that everything that's laid, the groundwork is laid for, is permanent. And it's just, and if anything, you're just complaining that it wasn't left enough. You know, that you're like, why don't y'all get it? This shit ain't perfect. It ain't, it's left it in. And it's like, I think for the most part, many, many people have no consideration for the people outside their bubble, but they're America too. And this is for some people, this is their wake up call. Cause I mean, for us, honestly, I was just like, well, yeah, that's obvious. You know what I mean? Like, there was going to be a market correction back to racism, you know? Also, for the right, I mean, essentially, they just, without truly supporting their candidate, he just won. Because the right has been a reality show for a long time. Mm-hmm. Even longer than the Democrats. And the Democrats really could rest on their laurels to a certain extent because they had 8 years of Obama and they knew Hillary had next. You know, she had been around the longest. She had wanted it the most. She had set everything up to be coming back and run again. and it wasn't a new, it wasn't a surprise, it wasn't, there was no fervor for her. You know, the people that were waiting in the wings that probably could have run and got more excitement, they weren't really there because they knew in order to fit into the party you have to wait your turn. Elizabeth Warren can't run now, not during Hillary's turn. You know, no one was gonna do her like Obama did her. And even when Obama ran, I honestly think he ran at first to get his name familiar with the public and was like, I'll be back in 4 to 8 years. Mm-hmm. He just happened to win.
Right.
In this case, I feel like, no one really galvanized and excited the youth. Even, and this is gonna sound like blasphemy, but I really mean it, even Bernie Sanders. I honestly think Bernie Sanders' reaction of being pushed by, as the candidate that the youth supports, was more of a rejection of the status quo. Like, mm-hmm. this is a rejection of Hillary Clinton, who's a career politician, and we know her. We don't know Bernie Sanders like that. And we can, and therefore we can just kind of like lay ideals onto him that they can be just as unrealistic as the shit Trump says, but he has no track record really for us to worry about, and we just want to have this dream candidate. And you can tell that it was all pie in the sky bullshit, because the second anyone questioned their candidate, they just turned into the same trolls that the alt-right are. You know, that's when you know, like, oh, this isn't real. Because you could say some fucked up shit about Obama in 08 and nobody was coming after you like that. You know what I mean? Like, you, and people said fucked up shit. Like, it wasn't just, it wasn't like shit that actually happened. Like, well, look, it looks like Bernie Sanders hasn't done anything for black people since he marched with them. Like, that was a real critique that actually was true. Mm-hmm. People were saying shit like Barack Obama's a secret Muslim. And even then, you could just say that. Hell, you could go on TV. You know what I mean? With Bernie shit, it was like, you say that, you getting harassed, you getting phone calls, you getting, like, they had picked this dude as, like, the savior. And I really think that was just more about not liking Hillary. And that was why you got a lot of, well, I'll vote for Trump then, and I won't even vote for her then. Because it was like, we're not actually about any of these ideals. We're about voting for a candidate that makes us feel special and like we made a statement. And this is the next statement guy. You know, Obama was the first statement guy. Now it's my turn to make a statement with this old man. You know, like, I don't think it was ever real on the level that people claim for it to be real. You know, he gave people a symbol to believe in, but when you looked at his policies and his ideas, they didn't really add up with the symbol that they said it was, you know? So I just think it was interesting, you know, because if it was that real, her and him, they voted 94% of the time the same way, then a whole lot of people that fuck with him will fuck with her. You know, if it was that real, you know, it's like, well, okay, how many people, I remember the first time when Obama beat Hillary, there were so many people, black people, who said, I support Hillary Clinton when that shit started. He started being more competent and was better, a better speaker and better at presenting his ideas. And people were like, I can see myself voting for him. You know what? I'm fucking with him now.
Right.
It was just, I care about this set of ideals. This person presents the set of ideals better. I'm going to vote for him. You know, I think that shit is what it came down to. But yeah, on the right, look, man, racism won. People want their country back. You know, the idea
got us browning it up.
Yeah, the idea that this country was founded as some type of weird melting pot where we all get along is such bullshit. Mm-hmm. And white people just wanted to send us a quick reminder that it's not that way. Mm-hmm. You know,
And also something else to me that played a huge factor across the country is voter suppression. I think that's something that people just flat out ignored. All bunch of state passed a bunch of fucked up laws for voter suppression, and mm-hmm. that shit impacted the election tremendously too. You had a lot of people that could not vote, were getting false information, getting wrong information, all kinds of factors too, you know, and that shit matters. And the Republicans strategically did that shit.
Yeah, I think it was interesting though, because black voters still turned out, mm-hmm. which was interesting. Less hours, less days, less places to vote, especially in our state and then many other states. Ever since the Voting Rights Act stopped being protected, you know, the Supreme Court, you know, another thing that's going to get some conservative judges now, decided that racism was over. They don't need to protect that anymore. You know, that's why when people say they're both the same and shit doesn't matter, I can't believe there are people like that that truly think that they're that I'm supposed to believe are worthwhile with their opinion. It's just very hard to take them seriously because it's such a, knowing the way our government is set up, it's such a ridiculous thing to say when the president does affect certain, they have certain powers such as electing these judges. You know, and basically you're ceding that, well, I'm okay dealing with, cause Supreme Court justice is gonna last most of our lives. Like, it's not, this isn't like the other offices where, well, in 4 years, you guys will learn from Trump. This,
they forever, until they retire, die.
Yeah, the ahistorical dream that we're gonna have such a bad, Trump will be so bad for the country that everybody's gonna be a liberal in 4 years. It's so stupid. It's ridiculous. It'll never happen. I don't think, I'll just put it this way. I think a lot of people need to really study history in America, specifically America. I don't care about the other countries. You need to study American history, especially how it pertains to slavery and civil rights. And you need to look, don't just read the events. Go find what people wrote at the time. See how it is echoed today. It is super fucking important to see the paternalism, to see the bigotry, to see the flowery language that it is treated with, and then look at today and you see those themes and you realize this fight is an eternal fight that it'll never stop because this is what it was built on. And every iteration of progress we've had an iteration of racism adjusting to that progress and then kind of overtaking it. It's really gonna be incredibly difficult to push the ball forward, and it seems that honestly as a society we don't have the wherewithal to do that. We like to push a little bit, we get tired, we want a break, and then we let the ball roll downhill a bit, and then we push a little bit more. Like, we do that a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how this feels, is this is the moment where the ball's gonna roll downhill for a bit because people got tired. Honestly, it got to be too hard. People were like, right, but I gotta listen to these black people now. I gotta listen to these women. I gotta listen to these immigrants. I gotta listen to these LGBT. Oh, this is so difficult. I don't even like this woman. You know what? Just fuck it. Let them have it and we'll deal with it later. You know what I mean? But all that being said, I don't really blame the left. Mm-mm. All that shit being said, everything I just said aside, while those are just little knick-knack, tic-tac fouls on this side, yeah, it's white people's fault.
Come on.
100, you know what I mean? White people's fault, dog.
Because the brown people, we came out in droves.
Yeah, it wasn't just about coming out in droves, but came out in droves and voted our interest. You know, like, it wasn't as simple as... oh yeah, we look at us, we came out and we voted. It's like, no, we didn't just vote, it was like 90 something percent of black women voted for Hillary Clinton. 88% of black men voted for Hillary Clinton. You know, when it comes to
Latino race was high, like everybody race was really high.
Yeah, I'm looking at the numbers.
Okay.
Men, 41% of men voted for Hillary Clinton, 53% of men voted for Donald Trump. Keep in mind, men and women, this includes all races.
Okay.
Female, 54% voted for Hillary Clinton, 42% voted for Donald Trump. Now, that's an interesting number there. Because it sounds like, oh, cool, over half of women supported, Hillary Clinton. White, 37% voted for Hillary Clinton, 58% voted for Donald Trump. So white people still in mass voted for Donald Trump and they have superior numbers. Mm-hmm. Black, 88% voted for Hillary Clinton, 8% voted for Donald Trump. Hispanic and Latino and Asian are both at 65% with 29% voting for Trump. And then others, 56%. I don't know what other is.
I guess it didn't fall in one of those main groups.
Yeah. When it comes to age, younger people from basically 18 to 29, 55%. 30 to 44, 50%. Okay. 42% for Trump, 37%. So still, he got less. There's a margin where there's people that voted third party and shit. Mm-hmm. 45 to 64, 44% voted for Hillary Clinton, 53% for Trump. So older people like Trump, which makes sense. 65 and older, same percentage basically. Education wise, people with high school or less, 45% for Clinton, 51% for Trump. Same thing, some college associate's degree, about the same percentage.
Okay.
So most people with lower education, quote unquote, voted for Trump. College graduates, 49 for Clinton, 45 for Trump. Postgraduate, 58. So the smarter you are, the more likely you are to vote for Clinton. Interesting. Well, I guess the more learned you are, I guess we'll put it that way. Education by race. White college graduates, 49% of them graduated, 49% of them voted for Trump, 49 voted for Trump, 45 for Clinton. So the majority of them voted for Trump, the white people that are college graduates. White people without a college degree, 67% voted for Trump, 28 for Hillary Clinton. Non-white college graduates, 71% for Clinton. Non-white people I got my degree, fuck that. 23 for Trump. Non-white without a college degree, 75%. So even more than the educated people, they were like, I'm voting against Trump. 20% voted for Trump.
That's like, no.
When you look at the education and you see the majority of people that voted for Trump, that's all white people, basically. Because when you break it down by race, anybody of any race is not voting for that dude. But white people do. Income under $30,000. Most people voted for Clinton. 53% and 41% for Trump. 30,000 to 49,000. 51% for Clinton, 42% for Trump. 50,000 to 99,000, 46% for Clinton, 50% for Trump. So he won that one. And then he wins the rest by smaller margins as well, but still, you know, the more money you make, the closer it gets, for Trump. Mm-hmm. And then he starts to win a little bit. Let's see, party affiliation. Democrats, 89% of Democrats voted for Hillary Clinton, 9% voted for Trump. Interesting. Republicans, 7% voted for Hillary Clinton, 90% voted for Trump. Independent or something else, 42% went to Clinton, 48% to Trump. That's really important. So when people bring up third party votes, that shit split. It's not close. It's not, oh, it's all going to go to Hillary Clinton and then we'll freak. No. Even people that voted third party that ended up voting for one of the two parties, one of the two main parties, it was split basically, with most of it going to Trump. Let's see. White evangelical or white born again Christians, 16% for Hillary Clinton, 81% for Trump.
I believe that.
Because Jesus, because Trump is the religious candidate.
No, he is not, but that's what they think.
That's amazing. That's just an amazing number right there. Let's see what else happened. Married people. That's not what I want to get into. There's one about where it breaks down race and I know where that was. That's actually on my Twitter. But there's another one where they look at the racial makeup and you basically see white women of all types, the majority of them ended up voting for Trump. So when you see women voted for Hillary Clinton in general, that's basically women of color,
right? Women of color
undoing the anti intellectual work of white women.
Come on.
You know, and specifically black women, because they voted at the highest margin.
Right, it's all about solid, quote unquote, solidarity until it's not anymore.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, if you're looking to blame somebody, I mean, white men and white women, it's white people's fault. It's,
come on.
You know, if you really wanted Hillary to win, or you really felt like, you know, the ideology of the left is what you gravitate towards, then it's white people's fault. And it's really, there's no kind way to put it. You know, I know people want to be like, not me and not all white people. That's fine. I didn't say all white people. I didn't say it's everybody. I didn't name each person's name, but we're looking at the cohort statistics. Statistically, white people, in mass voted for, this bigot.
Right, so that's why every time the post was off, because they interviewed these people said, no, we're behind that booth, and was like, check Donald Trump. And and guess what? The numbers showed they did.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people were necessarily wanted to be vocal supporters of the dude, but, you know.
Because they don't want to deal with the criticism.
Yeah, so it was just, you know, interesting night. I definitely enjoyed catching up on How to Get Away with Murder. And
I had a good sleep, my shows though. I played Blue Giant for a little bit and I just went to sleep.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure my the trolls that don't like me and shit couldn't wait to think about me, but I was good, you know, saw this coming. Now there's some other things that happened in the election that, you know, I would like to get to.
Okay.
The law where California where porn actors had to wear a condom, it was struck down. So they would not be forcing actors to wear condoms, which I really think was a puritanical law that was designed to try to rid the state of porn.
Right. Yeah. You want them to be safe. I am not here for not safe sex.
Right.
But because I know that y'all were fucking doing this for that reason, good.
All right. And at this point, I got to start drinking. This is ridiculous.
Oh, Lord.
It's fucking country. Am I right, guys? Sweet Jesus. What is this again?
That tequila?
Swazza 901.
Yeah. That, oh, you said 901. I was about to say 1901.
Got a little bit of that hot jalapeno flavor to it.
Mm-hmm. It's smooth, though.
But yeah, California voters rejected a law to make condoms compulsory in porn. The state is the capital of porn industry and the largest in the movie industry. If it had been passed, actors would be subjected to criminal charges for not wearing protection during sex scenes. Yeah, and the thing was, any person could bring the charges. Like, anyone watching it would be able to take an actor to court because they didn't see a condom in a scene.
And all you're gonna have to do is people screening watching porn just so they can report people. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, so California came through. It's a game changer. Anti-tobacco campaigners rejoice after California voters pass extortionate tax hike on cigarettes in the nation's biggest smoking market. So Proposition 56 will increase taxes on a pack of cigarettes from 87 cents to $2.87, bringing it more in line with other states. Yeah, the thing I don't like about this is I don't think these things are truly designed to stop people from smoking.
Mm-mm.
I just think it's a tax, almost like a luxury tax you put on people who smoke because it's the one thing we know people had a hard time quitting.
Right.
So it's like, let's charge them more as if that $2 will make them stop, when we know that it's just enough money that you'll go, well, cigarettes cost $5 a pack now or whatever the fuck. Like, that's the only thing that changes, I pay more per pack than I was paying, but I'm not gonna stop smoking.
And they know this.
Yeah, because it's so addictive. And you know, it'd be like if you put a tax on crack, which we call prison and fines anyway, but it's like if you put a tax on it rather than to, you know, truly try to help people get off of it. Anyway, it passed. Let's see what else happened. The first openly LGBT governor got elected in Oregon's Kate Brown.
Wonderful.
Yep.
It wasn't all a bad night, y'all.
Brown was the incumbent in her race, but running for election for the first time. She stepped into as governor of Oregon in February 2012 after Governor John Kitzhaber resigned over an influence peddling scandal. She was Secretary of State at the time. As Oregon does not have a lieutenant governor, she was first in the line of succession. Now she'll serve the remaining 2 years of the 4-year term she won during the 2014 election. Earlier this year, during a graduation speech at Willamette University, Brown told the graduate about the year she spent in the closet. She told students she worried that she would lose her job if she was discovered she was bisexual. Brown was outed in the 80s and has been married to her husband since 1997. Slate reported last year that while it was not her choice to be out, she embraced her identity once it was public. She was not the first LGBT person to serve as governor. Former New Jersey Governor Jim McGreevy came out as gay in 2004, resigned months later. But she has now become the first openly LGBT person to win a gubernatorial election. So good for her, man. Mm-hmm. Good, you know, it's not all bullshit.
Mm-mm.
Jefferson County elected the state's first black female sheriff.
Wonderful.
That's right. So now when they cover up the shooting of an innocent black person, it'll be done by a black woman, y'all. We came up. Nigga, we made it.
We bought the system now.
Zena Stevens on Tuesday became Texas's first black female sheriff by narrowly turning back the country's strongest Republican challenger ever, Ray Beck. The race was close throughout the night, with Stevens leading early, boosted by Lee's and Port Arthur and Beaumont's northern and southern precincts. She finished with 51.4% of the vote. Beck took the lead late in the night with strong support of Beaumont's West End, the country's western precincts in mid... Oh, let me refresh real quick. People are having issues hearing in chat. But yeah, so she won. So congratulations to that sister. So she says, I think it's important because I never saw anybody who looked like me in this role or as a police chief when I was growing up. And so the idea, not just for girls, but for any minority, that you can obtain these jobs at this level, I think that's important. And it's important for these jobs in law enforcement and any job to reflect the community they serve. So good for her. Other news, Minnesota elected their first Somali American Muslim woman legislator.
Yay, all these women.
Ilhan Omar on Tuesday became the first Somali American Muslim woman elected a state legislator with a legislature with a clear victory in Minnesota. Her biggest battle was fought during the August primary when she defeated a 44-year incumbent to become the Democratic nominee in the In the House of Representatives. She will represent a diverse liberal district that encompasses most of Minneapolis. Cool, man. Sorry you got to go deal with Donald Trump, but good for you.
Yes, I'm happy for her.
Lisa Blunt, Rochester, becomes the first black woman elected to Congress from Delaware. Riding voter registration numbers that heavily favor Democrats, Rochester defeated Republican Hans Riegel in the Tuesday election. She's a political newcomer. She loaned her campaign more than $400,000 and spent almost $1 million in topping a crowded field of Democratic primary candidates before defeating Riegel, or maybe it's Riegel, a retired military pilot and former mayor of Kent County Town of Wyoming.
Wonderful.
So she said her focus will be creating new jobs for the economy and equal pay for equal work. Congrats to Lisa Blunt Rochester. A bunch of states legalized weed. So you got, on election day, voters in five states were asked to decide whether the recreational use of marijuana should be legalized, and so far three have said yes. Official results haven't come in for Maine and Arizona. Four other states voted whether marijuana should be used for medical reasons. So far, people in Florida and North Dakota have voted yes, according to their election results websites. The new number of adults who have smoked weed has nearly doubled in 3 years, according to the Gallup poll. It is number one illicit drug of choice for Americans, according to the 2014 National Survey on Drug Use, although only one-third of users reported an addiction to the substance, unlike almost all other illicit drugs. So there you guys go. I'm getting some, smoke them if you got them. You're going to need it to deal with this new Donald Trump presidency. Also, Kamala Harris won California Senate seat. Black woman, HBCU alum, and California Attorney General Kamala Harris has clinched the Senate seat after defeating Rep. Loretta Sanchez in last night's election for California's open seat in the U.S. Senate.
Good for her.
She'll replace outgoing Senator Barbara Boxer, who announced her retirement in 2014 after serving more than two decades in the Senate. In doing so, she's breaking down some noteworthy barriers. She's the second black woman and the first South Asian American to serve in the Senate. She's also the first woman of color to represent California in the chamber. Harris established early dominance in the race by announcing her candidacy shortly after Boxer said she would step down, and has held a strong lead over Sanchez throughout the contest. The progressive attorney general, known for working on criminal justice reform since taking office in 2011, had the backing of many of the country's top Democrats, including President Barack Obama and Vice President Joe Biden. She also notched endorsements from Boxer, Senator Dianne Feinstein, and California Governor Jerry Brown.
Good.
Yep. So Harris tweeted this message after securing her victory. Oh, she retweeted Roland Martin, who said, "My sources are telling me that white women deserted at Hillary Clinton. She is vastly underperforming among them." And she added, "We are collectively being called on to look in the mirror and furrow brow and ask, who are we? I believe the answer is a good one. I intend to fight to make sure all our communities are stronger. Our ideals are at stake right now, I'm assuming. We have to fight for who we are. I intend to fight for common sense gun safety because it's just the right thing to do. I intend to fight against those naysayers who say there is no such thing as climate change." Good for you, Kamala. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's it for election news. So there you guys go. I don't know. We can either do white people news or we can do some guess the race. What time is it? Oh, we got time. Okay, let's do some white people news. All right, it's been rough, guys.
Yeah, that's the longest election coverage y'all gonna get, just so you know.
Been rough for a lot of you guys. I feel uniquely prepared to be okay about this shit, but like I said, I think it's really because of what we do, you know what I mean?
Right, we read so many articles and go with stuff over and over again, well, you kind of can just see trends.
Yeah, you know, I feel like that's what it was, because I think last night people were hitting me up like, how could you be tweeting about TV shows at a time like this? I was like, this country is racist.
Come on,
this is not a news flash. Mm-hmm. Do y'all think we just been talking all this time? Some of y'all know better, because y'all definitely talk about how fucked up this country is every day. I see you. Did you think that it was impossible? You know, a place where people hate Black Lives Matter. People hate it.
Oh, start another session.
I ain't starting shit.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I'm starting another session. Hold on. Sorry, I've been drinking. Oh, all right. Sorry about this, guys. All right. I'm going to do... I'm gonna call them to the session. Mm-hmm. There you go. I'm prepared to go live. I need to invite you back. Mm-hmm. Come live. Yes. Sorry about that, guys. Got carried away. And let me invite you back, Karen. So you should be back on in a second. And then we'll play this music for these people. All right, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
White people news. Just my buddy Holly. Oh, I know Mary Tyler Moore. I don't care what they say about us anyway. I don't care about that. Oh man, speaking of white people, I'm getting white girl wasted on this swazzle. Miley Cyrus posts tearful video after Hillary Clinton lost, begging President-elect Donald Trump to treat people with respect. As if. He gonna be out here snatching left and right. This has been a referendum on morality. He ain't worried about that shit.
Like, he got the highest man in office. You think he give a fuck about rules?
Right. I ain't get this far by respecting people.
Come on.
Why? What kind of ridiculousness are you proposing? See if I can play this for you guys. Can I make it bigger? All right, here we go. See if I can hide. Play.
Okay. So probably like most people that are going to see. Well, maybe not, because given the result, they're going to be indifferent. girlfriend and maybe
when you realize that you wanted the good ones, dog. That's what that moment was for Molly just now. She just literally had the realization that a lot of white girls fuck with her that voted for Donald Trump. That's what that was. She was like, a lot of y'all gonna be sad, like, oh wait, oh shit, y'all racist.
A lot of people that I'm surrounded by think with open minds and open hearts like I do. And I do want to say that I've been very vocal for my support for everyone besides Donald Trump. Heavily supported Bernie, heavily supported Hillary. And I still think that in her lifetime she deserves to be the first female president. And that's what makes me so sad. Is that I just wish that she had that opportunity because she's fought for so long. And because I believe her when she says that she loves this country. This is all she's ever done. She's given her life to make it better. But like Donald Trump so ironically played after his speech, it said you can't always get what you want. And happy hippies, we adjust and we accept everyone who they are. And so Donald Trump, I accept you. And this earth is it, but I even accept you as a president.
That's gonna be so easy for white people to do.
He not my president.
In general. I think, like, I've seen a few, like, white folks kind of hit up the, like, well, guys, he can't be as bad as you. I mean, think about it and all this. And it's like, it must be so nice to be white. One woman told me, well, this is definitely just about people voting for change. They just wanted any change. I said, no. This is about people voting for a bigot. Let's keep it funky, okay? Like, when you voted for a bigot, you're not voting for just change. You're voting for a specific type of change back to racism. We saw the rallies. It must be so nice to have the cognitive dissonance to be able to pretend that this shit is just some aloof happening out in the world that doesn't actually involve real people being racist. It must be so nice.
Nope, I'm gonna do just like they did when Obama got president. He ain't my president.
Yeah, there were a bunch. If they wanted to just vote for different people, shit, you could have voted for Ben Carson. If you just wanted to vote for some change, it's not about change. Specifically about this guy. You know, the chickens are coming home to roost.
United States, and that's fine. That's fine because I think now I want to be a hopeful hippie. And I want to be hopeful that you will step into and President Obama, Mr. Obama, I want to say thank you for everything you've done in 6 years.
Oh, yeah, y'all missing him now, huh? Yeah. Yeah. I can't lie. Can't lie, man. Part of me is like, you niggas did talk shit about my man. I can't lie. Part of me looking forward to these 4 years of watching motherfuckers realize that it was always this other alternative out there that was like, man, fuck your black ass. They didn't get that. It was always this kind of struggle between like, well, if I can get you guys to understand, then I can get them to understand. We can kind of compromise. And people like, this not good enough. And acting like that was the default of America. I've been alive longer than you. I know it ain't the default, dog. I know that shit is just a click away from going back to, oh, black person got shot by the cops. Why the fuck would I send the Department of Justice to look into that?
Come on,
Justice, dog, was already served when he served them bullets. Talk about Trayvon Martin looking like my son. No, I ain't talking about that shit. Look like a thug to me.
I won't even address it.
Yeah. Oh. Can't lie, man. Mm-hmm. Part of me was almost like, maybe y'all will appreciate him now. A lot of motherfuckers don't appreciate that dude. Michael Moore, a lot of liberals, a lot of, he's the worst thing to happen to black people. Oh, just, mwah, yes. Good, fuck yes, you.
It's gonna be interesting because a lot of people that voted for him, a lot of this change is gonna directly affect your ass too.
Kinda can't wait. Kinda looking forward to it. Justin Bieber keeps his cool in the trendy beanie and Sherlyn coat as he lands in Croatia for tour after ex Jade Pierce revealed she's pregnant.
By him?
I don't know. She's toting a gut full of pop star.
Really, she is.
He might have been chopping them cakes down to Canadian smithereens.
Getting some Canadian ham.
His His ex-girlfriend Jade Pierce, wait, isn't it Canadian bacon? I thought it was Canadian bacon, but it just looked like ham.
It looked like ham to me. My bad, y'all.
Canadian ham. What the hell? Can't wait to tell Tone about that.
Shit, do it like ham.
Write that down. All get right, him some Canadian ham.
<Mm-mm-mm. laughs> That shit do look like ham.
Anyway.
I take that ham.
Yeah, you have to. Because this is brought to you by Loot Crate. This tank of the day is brought to you by Loot Crate, a monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT and enter code TBGWT and get $3 off of any new subscription. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time to sign up and receive this month's crate. Then that means you got about 10 more days, okay? You get, for less than $20, 6 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items. You can even upgrade to the Loot Crate DX, and they come with, like, wearables, like, collector's items, like, big-ass box, guys. You're gonna be so excited when you get this. Unbelievable. It's tremendous. You're gonna really enjoy this, this deal at Loot Crate DX. Okay, and this month's theme is magical. That's right. Ready your wands, pre-measure your positions, and get ready for November's enchanting theme. Magical. They've cast a powerful ancient spell to deliver you 100% exclusive crate items featuring bewitching items from Doctor Strange, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and Big Trouble in Little China, and more. So while you're out at the movies, you can go show up in your, I don't know, your Harry Potter wand. I don't know what the fuck they gonna send. That's the beauty of it. It's a gift that you give yourself that you don't even know what's happening. You just know it's gonna be dope. lootcrate.com/TBGWT, code TBGWT. Back to Justin Bieber. Anyway, Justin Bieber, it was revealed that his ex-girlfriend was pregnant with her first child with her new beau, Mike Dixon. And Justin Bieber didn't seem to have a care in the world as he touched down in Zagreb Airport, Croatia on Wednesday ahead of the next performance of his Purpose World Tour. The 22-year-old singer looked focused as he made his way through the airport in a beanie, stylish coat, and headphones. Wow, I just can't believe he's so daring. The warm outerwear, which he wore over plain black top, featured shirling detail and khaki pockets. What? He went with the cack on him?
Yeah, he did.
Damn, Jay. You hurting him. You killing him, Jay. You killing him. he teamed the pair with a pair of brown trousers as he made his way forth, flanked by security. The Sorry Hitmaker, the song is called Sorry, he recently split with Sophia Richie, 18, and was met by news earlier this week from his former model girlfriend, Jay, that she's expecting her first child. The 21-year-old model made the announcement on Instagram and told her followers the father of her child was rapper Mike Dixon. Is that his rap name?
I don't know who that is.
What kind of shit is this? You a rapper named Mike Dixon? Come on, dog. It gotta be... Hold on. Mike Dixon rapper. I gotta look him up now, guys. Just a picture of random white people showed up when I...
When you typed that in?
Well, he go by DJ Mike Dixon, but all the pictures are still of white people. What the fuck?
Also, his name is DJ Mike Dixon. What does music sound like, Mr. DJ Mike Dixon?
DJ Mike Dixon. Let's see. Disco Light song, Mike Dixon. Okay. I'm assuming this is him. Let me rap electro vocal breakbeat. I guess he a DJ. He a rapper? How, Sway? The fuck? I'm assuming it's him.
He relate to Daryl.
Disco Lights by Mike Dixon. Nah, come on, man.
Techno.
I'm gonna click on the YouTube link. That was on Spotify.
Okay, what I'm gonna hit next? Doof, 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 doof. Glow sticks.
Rap Electro is his song. Vocal Break Mix is the name. In parentheses, I don't know what that means. Vocal Break Mix. Okay, all right. DJ Mike Dixon, 324 views. Your this better not be her man. She went from Justin Bieber to this shit. Mm-mm. I'm not buying it.
We got the wrong Mike Dixon. There's a lot of must be white Dixon rappers out here. Mike Dixon rappers.
Bitch, get out of my face.
I think we got the wrong one, y'all.
MikeDixonMusic.com? Is that him? Now I'm on a quest to find out who the fuck
Mike Dixon the rapper is. The real one, please stand up.
She fucking with a loser, dog. Nah, it can't be this old white man with a hearing aid. It can't be him. What the fuck is going on, man?
Who is Mike Dixon? Will you please let us know?
Jesus.
What
yeah.
Please stand up.
I'm so hurt, guys. I don't know what the fuck is happening.
Cause, you know, we want to give you accurate white people news, and apparently it's a lot of them that fit the category stereotype.
This is all horrible white people news. Jay dated Justin from May 2015 until the start of this year, with the pair going their separate ways. While Jade and Justin never defined their relationship, and the vlogger has insisted that they just cuddled a lot, it was while on holiday in Bora Bora that the singer was snapped enjoying a naked dip in the pool. Meanwhile, a few days earlier, Justin made the most of his time off from his world tour as he treated revelers at a pub in Toronto to a lively impromptu piano performance. Oh, I see her. Okay, this her. Oh, y'all want to see her? Oh, y'all definitely want to see her.
Yeah, I don't know what she looked like.
She looked like she's some kind of brown dog. Justin was, I guess never say never. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know?
He turned his hat to the back and he changed.
Mm-hmm. Once you go cack. But, yeah, that's her there on the bed holding her. That's her pregnancy reveal photo. She held her stomach. I don't know if you guys can see this in the chat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's gorgeous.
Right? She's so pretty. Got a gut full of DJ right there. Just.
Mm-hmm. Hope we got the wrong Mike Dixon, because, honey. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I don't see no music by Mike Dixon, so. Mike Dixon sound like a nigga that work at Autoville or some shit.
Yes. I'll tell you, Daryl Cousin, man.
It's also the perfect time to mention that white people's news. This next story is brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions. That's right. Shadow Dog Productions, the maker of fine handcrafted audio plays. Don't forget to get our second audio play album, The Best of Rod and Karen, on iTunes. Just search The Best of Rod and Karen. We'll come up, leave us 5-star reviews, and enjoy it. It's me and Karen being silly and making a whole lot of jokes and, Karen cussing me out and things of this nature.
It was fun.
It makes no sense. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie have not signed a new custody agreement as the father of six pursues joint care of their children. Mm. That's right. Shit's getting real in the Jolie household. Mm-hmm. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie apparently have not reached a final custody agreement, despite recent reports claiming the settlement had been signed. A statement released by the actress's people on Monday said Angelina, 41 years old, will continue to have sole custody of the six children, while they had therapeutic meetings with Brad. Therapeutic meetings? He must love them kids, because I would write them little niggas off so fast. You making him go through all this? He gotta love them. Good for you, Brad.
I think he really does.
Because I'm only really tracking if he stays in Sahara life, but I'm still glad. The line was a continuation of a temporary agreement made in September following the pair's highly publicized split. Look, guys, I don't know their relationship, and I hate to speculate, but I'm about to speculate. Uh-oh. I think she's just one of them uptight-ass, hippy-dippy parents, and I think he didn't do nothing wrong other than to tell them, hey, you broke a glass or some shit like that, and she went, my God, Brad, that's abuse, and that's what happened. That's my guess. And the whole time, Brad Pitt is thinking, that was the straw that broke my back. I can't deal with your crazy ass anymore. You were so hot when we got together. I thought I would be crazy to turn you down, let you destroy my marriage and everything. And I helped destroy it too, because you was fine. You was fine as fuck. But you have turned into the hippiest of hippie people. And I no longer can deal with our badass kids. And you got to let me tell these kids when they are being bad. And she's like, no, our kids are perfect angels. And he's like, they've just pissed on the carpet. No one likes our kids. No one. We can't take them nowhere.
I know we can't keep a good babysitter.
Right. Like, no one likes our fucking kids. We can't pay a person enough to watch these motherfucking
six
kids.
Six at one time, too.
Right. Like, the kids fuck up. I can't even say, hey, don't do that. You get mad. So, that's my guess. I'm totally speculating. I don't know. But I feel like we had enough white people news that I feel like Brad Pitt is not the one in the wrong, guys. I'm sorry. It makes no sense because Pitt filed for joint custody on Friday, days after this supposed new agreement. There were absolutely not any child care advisors of any kind imposing on any way involved with his decision. Meanwhile, Brad made his first official appearance since his split from Angelina when he attended a screening of Moonlight in Los Angeles. God, he woke. He's so woke. Sorry. Good for you, Brad. Way to go support black films. And it wasn't even Birth of a Nation. He even picked the right one. Damn.
Yes, he did.
And this man was in 12 Years a Slave. So he could have fucked up. But he paid attention. He was like, ooh, wrong slavery film? Okay, cool.
Somebody got a hold of him. Like, not that one.
No, Brad.
They were like, is this the black dude that's been going out? No.
These niggas are people, though. No, Brad. Now's not the time to say that. The 52-year-old was supported by his fellow A-lister friend Julia Roberts as she attended the event promoting the film, which was executive produced through his company Plan B. Oh, okay. Smart. He executive produced it. Mm-hmm. Jolie filed for divorce in September, days after Pitt. Oh, we know the rest of the story, guys. Okay. At any rate, they still falling out, guys. Mm-hmm. Ain't that some shit?
Right?
This diva ain't free.
Oh, shit.
Mariah Carey demands $50 million inconvenience fee from James Packer.
Inconvenience fee? Yes, inconvenience fee. Inconvenience me, you gonna pay.
Now that is one way to end the waste of time 2016. That's one way to stop waste of time 2016 to start sending niggas invoices.
They be like, oh, you wasted my, you know what? I know that sound crazy, but man, don't not make me more livid than having somebody waste my time.
I know, but relationship wise, it's the understood agreement that, you know, I can waste your time. Things didn't work out. No love connection. We move on. Mariah Carey just shifted the whole paradigm that relationships are founded upon and said, bitch, you cost me $50 million worth of time. Like, not even, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't even on some,
you.
It's like, I could have been practicing or something. I'm sitting up here watching Netflix with your ass.
I could have been touring.
It's about to change everything. You know how many people about to be getting $25.76 bills? Because, you know, everybody time not as valuable as Mariah's. But it's about to be a whole lot of $100 invoices and shit for people like, right. Hey, now you, I thought we was working towards something. But then I seen you on Twitter talking about flirting with some other chick. You need to pay me all $117.42 of my bills because you wasted that much of my time.
Yes, you did.
My hourly rate is too much for this. But yeah, according to TMZ, she's demanding he cough up $50 million of his hard-earned dollars or else what? She's basically... She's basically saying her relationship with James wasn't convenient for her, and she believes she needs to be compensated for her troubles. First, she moved from New York City to L.A. so that James could spend more time around his children. Second, the R&B icon says that the infamous and ambiguous incident that happened on the yacht where the couple vacationed in Greece was completely disrespectful to her assistant. That's more money. Let Mariah tell it was so traumatic that she was forced to cancel her tour in South America. Ooh. 50 million. That's how you get to 50 million. That's the math, y'all. That's how we do it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, according to her, also the assistant, like, you know, she makes.
Assistant gonna get a piece of that?
That's $20,000 a year she makes. Mm-hmm. And you would do this. Mm-mm. I'm gonna need you to pay up. Also, let's see what else happened.
Because they were scared to be married and they didn't.
Yeah, so she was like, you wasting my time,
right?
I'm gonna need to get all my cash, dog,
because you're not gonna marry me. Don't waste my time.
Yeah, what you think this is?
Who are you finna try? I bet it ain't me. Oh bitch, it ain't me. Caps. Who are you
mm-hmm. Fuck you thought this was, boy?
Come on,
give me my money. Mm-mm. Run all my coins. Mariah's crazy. I didn't know you. It's such genius to even think of this. It's genius. Cause it's not even like you had a legally binding agreement of any, it's just, motherfucker, I had other shit to do than to waste my time on your dick. Give me my money.
All right.
She also said he made promises to break off a certain amount of bread. So I don't know. Maybe he did tell her that, but she need to get that in writing. Mm-hmm. $50 million for wasting her time. Mm-hmm. Ain't that some shit? All right, let's do some guess the race, guys. Oh, I guess I should probably go to my guess the race music. That always helps to guess the race that way. Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestant today, Karen in the chat room, to guess the race, and they're both all races. All right. Of course, Guess the Race is brought to you by Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. You need to get clearer, smoother skin, and Bevel is going to help you with that. Get it before Trump tries to put it out of business. Okay, guys,
come on.
You know he's not going to let us walk around with our skin feeling unirritated as long as he can help it in his America. He's going to outlaw Bevel. That's why I'm stocking up now, just in case the revolution comes,
just in case,
so I can still be looking smooth and unbothered. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed for us by us. Shout out to Solange. And it's created by Tristan Walker, a young entrepreneur who wanted to cater to the unique shaving needs of black men. Go to getbevel.com/TBGWT and you can get your first month free. Getbevel.com/TBGWT. All right, let's get into some of this Guess the Race, guys. Officially closed until Thanksgiving, a mother bans her family from entering the living room for nearly a month after cleaning it for the holiday. So Thanksgiving's coming up later on this year, and she likes to get the early jump on it, I guess.
Apparently.
And treats it like my grandmama's den, because you can't cake your ass in there.
You better not fuck up that carpet.
For a month? Mother resorted to extreme measures to prepare for Thanksgiving by closing the living room to the family nearly a month before the holiday. Michelle Keeler, 49, from Ohio, put up a handwritten note on the door on Saturday announcing that it was out of use until Thanksgiving. The message, which surprised her 17-year-old son Nick Denbo, shared on Twitter, stipulated that the room was officially closed until November 24th after being cleaned for the holidays. This room has been cleaned for the holidays and is officially closed until Thanksgiving. Special permission will be considered for you to sit on my clean furniture and or walk on my clean carpet only after following conditions have been met. One, you have showered and are dirt and odor free from top to toe. Two, you are wearing freshly laundered clothing. And then she put an asterisk. If permission is granted, no food or drinks are permitted at this time. Thank you. You may choose one of my many titles: mom, payer of bills, chauffeur, queen of the castle, person ruining your life, crazy bitch in charge. Whatever works for you, smiley face. Man, that's better than the Khaleesi right there. mother of dragons. So guess the race of this mom.
What's her name again?
Her name is Michelle Keeler.
You know what? I'm going to go white, because okay, if they was black, they would have just called a meeting and told your ass and then dared you to walk your ass in there.
Okay. Let's see what the...
they wouldn't have put a... It wouldn't have note been up. Look, this is your only and final warning. I'm telling you right now. I see your black ass in there. It's going to be me and you.
All right. Chat room. Let's see what y'all say. Sailing on the Mayflower white. Cheddar Bob, get to spreading this woman lane. Okay, I only see one. Oh, I gotta scroll down. Sorry about that. Selling on the Mayflower, white. Evangelical Elaine, white. Noticing that her first name wasn't on the list, black. Covered in plastic, black. Layaway couches, black. White as snow. None of that food will be seasoned, white woman. Sprayed the room down with fresh cheddar scent, white. Only white people only. Keep y'all ass off my good furniture, black. The room is split on this one, and the correct answer is Karen. You got it right. She's white. Some of y'all missed it. Hold on. Karen.
Yeah, I know how black women tick, and honey, they is not about to write you no memo.
That's true.
You
find out you ain't supposed to be in there when you get your ass popped.
Right, you find out you ain't supposed to be there. What's the position? What's she put the hands on you?
You're like, why she cussing? Oh, damn, I ain't supposed to be in here. Must be Thanksgiving.
Right.
Then can y'all see her picture? Is it showing up yet?
Aw. Oh, but she went here for no games, though. She was like, I'm gonna clean this room up one goddamn time, and I'm not cleaning it up no more to Thanksgiving.
My favorite was crazy bitch ruining your life.
Right.
Or like, crazy bitch in charge. That was my favorite. Let's see. A man, 22 years old, was... Oh, wait. I don't know why I keep going to this story when I ain't got no pictures. Let me delete this one. Here's one. A Florida man was arrested for shooting at passing cars. Hey.
White.
Shoot your shot. You know what I'm saying? You got to shoot your shot, dog. That's what they tell me on the Twitters. Carl Washington, 40, allegedly situated himself at an intersection and began shooting at passing cars Saturday, hitting one driver in the head. He was arrested on 5 counts of attempted premeditated murder after shooting with his rifle at 5 people as they drove by him in Hollywood, Florida. According to CBS, the man was shot in the head and crashed. Reynaldo Correa remains in critical condition at a hospital. Witnesses say Washington came out of his home carrying a rifle and a 6-pack of beer. He put the beer down in the intersection and opened fire at the cars. I've been drinking. All right, Karen.
White.
Karen's going white for Carl Washington. Let's check the chat room.
Wait a minute.
Hold on. What happened?
Oh, I tried to post it in there again. It was like, you just posted that.
Oh, okay. All right. So guess the race of Carl Washington chat room. Let's see here. Let me slide up. Hold on. I don't see where you asked.
I think it's like 2 above where I asked.
I don't even see where you at. Hold on. Oh, okay. All right. NASCAR watcher, white. Carl is a black name, but he lives, so white. Trump supporter, white. White. Trevor from Grand Theft Auto getting all the points, white. We can pry the guns from his cold, dead hands, except he won't be dead because he is a pink toe. Oh. I voted for Trump to start the revolution, white. 6-pack of Heineken, black. Black. The second white Washington ever. 6-pack white. This is a white name. This is a white mane and whitest sport. The correct answer is, and all of y'all, well, it was split. Most of you guys got it wrong. He was black. Couple of you did get it right. I mean, his name was Carl Washington. How did y'all?
That's a very white crime. You get you a 6-pack, sit in the street, and just start shooting.
Carl Washington would. Is it showing up in the chat yet?
Yeah, he been black.
Yeah, he black as fuck, right? Look at Carl. Shoot an old motherfucker in his head. Look at me wrong. All up in the intersection.
Yeah, that crime was very white. Yeah, you got me with that one.
All right, last one. This is the bonus round. I ain't playing the song. Been drinking and it's getting out of control, guys. A Missouri middle school principal allegedly was arrested for allegedly paying off a friend to kill his pregnant girlfriend.
Oh, okay. All right. That's what's hot in the streets.
In Trump's America. Can't wait to blame Trump for shit. Can y'all? I can't wait. I don't give a fuck. If 2 9/11s have, it's all him. A disgraced middle school principal in Missouri has been arrested for paying a friend to murder his 7-month pregnant girlfriend.
Oh.
Cornelius Green, 35, was indicted on, why are you looking like that? Was indicted on 2 counts of first degree murder Thursday for ordering his childhood friend, Philip J. Cutler, to kill Jocelyn Peters, and her unborn baby, March 24. Just a gut full of middle school principal.
He cut her up, all right.
Cutler, 36, was indicted on the same charges in June and was initially thought to have acted alone, but investigators came suspicious after discovering Green had sent Cutler $2,500 in cash 4 days before Peters, 30, was killed. So they did kill her. Wow. Court documents reveal Green picked up Cutler from a St. Louis bus station after he arrived in Muskogee, Oklahoma, March 21st. Oh, they caught the fuck out of them. The next morning, Green skipped town to travel to Chicago, but left Cutler with his car keys and keys to his girlfriend's apartment. The childhood friends remained in close contact over the following couple days. Green's car was spotted in surveillance footage near Peter's apartment about 3 a.m. on the day she was killed. An autopsy report showed Peters died from a single gunshot wound to the head, which will also cause her unborn baby to die. There were no signs of forced entry into her apartment. Wow, this is some savage shit. After killing Peters, Green allegedly left the car parked nearby her apartment, a mistake that would eventually implicate Green in the murder. So he left the car of the boyfriend park. Why did you, this is needlessly complicated. This is an extra step in you getting caught. And this motherfucker must have needed $2,500 bad. Green returned to St. Louis later that day and discovered Peters dead in her home. When police pulled him in for questioning, Green asked to make a phone call to his daughter, but instead called his estranged wife. Green asked his ex to meet with Cutler and hand him a set of spare keys so that he could move his car from Peters' neighborhood. Unaware, the cops were listening in on the phone call.
You're calling for the fucking police station. Of course they're listening in on the phone calls. It's not your private phone, dog.
Are you serious, dog? Mm-hmm. Are you serious, dog? You thought this was gonna work? How could this possibly work?
Sit your dumb ass down.
Sit your dumb ass down. You just crying, just all over, just everything wrong. Everything wrong. Anyway. Cutler was, I bet when he called, it was like, this call is being recorded for your information. He was like, baby, I need an alibi.
Yes! You know, it told him up front the call was being recorded.
Baby, can you get my co-defendant the keys? What are you talking about?
he made it out co-defendant.
Right. I paid a dude to kill somebody. It's a long story. He was eventually arrested back in Oklahoma in his hometown on June 9th and is now being held in St. Louis in lieu of $1 million bail. Green is being held on $3 million cash bail. Green is also facing felony counts for allegedly stealing $2,700 from students at the performance art middle school he used to be principal of. So he got the killing money from the school.
From the kids.
How many candy bars them kids sell that's going straight to murder?
You know a little kid mad they didn't get that goddamn bike this year.
Right. I hate him.
I saw all them tickets. All I wanted was that bike.
I'm sorry. All you get is some peanut butter popcorn. Everybody hated that caramel popcorn.
I don't know, goddamn.
That's all the points I could afford too. I always got stuck in that caramel popcorn. Like I sold 27 bars. Well, that's enough of some caramel popcorn.
Yeah.
Damn. I could
my mama bought them all. Yeah, because she was like, I'm not going out and walking and selling shit. I'm glad we ain't got no kids. My kids be disappointed.
That's before the internet.
That's true. That's
kids
true.
Now probably just like sell them shits on eBay. You know, before the internet though, you had to actually get out and walk to your pedophile's local door and hope that you weren't the one that day.
Right, because your mama definitely wasn't going with your black ass. She was like, I'm not going out there walking with you. You just better be back before the sun go down.
Yeah, just hope you don't answer the door and be like, oh, I would love to buy some candy.
We never see you again.
come on in the room with your muscly arms, buy some of this candy from you. Why don't you step in this water hose for me? Yeah, so he's facing felony counts for allegedly stealing that money from the kids. The theft occurred roughly 3 weeks before Peter's death, so that's probably where he got the hitman money. Mm-hmm. And they're looking into whether he had something to do with it, the murder for Green's friend Philip J. Cutler, I guess. All right, guess the race of Cornelius Green.
Cornelius is black just because his mama probably makes some good greens.
Okay, let's check the not from Neiman Marcus.
Mm-mm.
All right, let's check the chat room and see what they say.
You know, she got them on sale for 99 cents a pound.
All right, let me see what they say. Okay, dumber than the makings of the Coen Brothers movie White. Oh wait, no, that's another one. I'm sorry. Dumber than the Home Invaders at Home Alone White. Cornelius and Jocelyn are blacker than black. Ashley Hotep, woman hating black. Black as shit, LOL. Cornelius, he black. Yeah, they black. That nigga refused to be called baby daddy black. Never planned to be in that child's life anyway, black. Oh, cap dub, $2,500 for a murder, 15-year-old niggas. Child abandoning, woman killing, money laundering niggas. That name and poor planning, blackity black. did everyone guess black? Damn. I think everybody guessed black. Oh no, one person said dominant. Okay, one person guessed white. Well, guess what, one person? You should have went with the racism. You was wrong. Cornelius is a black man.
Yeah, Cornelius, that sound like an old black man that's on the Deacon Boy.
Yeah, that's him in the chat. The principal. That's the only reason I would have thought he wouldn't have been black, because he got that good job. But
oh, you put the post in the chat room?
What post? I put his picture in there.
Okay, wait a minute, there it is. Okay.
Yeah, that's him. He the principal right there.
Aww.
Right? And then this is her.
Then he got that little thing up underneath his chin.
Yeah.
Oh, she's pretty.
Right? Right? Look at that smile,
her
man.
Life.
And the only thing reason she dies because some ain't shit nigga came inside her. That's so fucked up, man. Mm-hmm. And then to top it off, this dude was a fucking, he got in on it too. This is friend from childhood. Two niggas killing this black woman. Fucking infuriating, man.
Instead of just letting them be.
Yeah.
Let her be with her child. Come on, dog.
Just don't be in a child's life if it's that much. You're going to kill a woman?
All right, and the baby, you survived. Just the baby ended up dying, didn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
I hope these motherfuckers get under the jail.
Mm-hmm.
God. But yeah, man. I already know what I'm going to say, so I'm not even going to say it. But y'all niggas know.
Take care of your motherfucking kids. It ain't that important.
Yeah. All right, man. Lastly, we got to talk about, of course, the last thing before we get out of here. A little bit of sword ratchetness. Sword ratchetness time, guys. A teen burglar armed with a samurai sword sparked a 6-hour police standoff. Jamie Carr, 18, was spotted dangling outside of a upstairs window. Damn, how did that happen? Of a house. His gang stole homeowner Hussein Akabari's 10,000 euro savings in a raid around 4 p.m. April 13th this year. Carr and of Anfield Road, Anfield, was only arrested after officers in riot gear stormed the vandalized house at 10 p.m. He was locked up for a shocking crime spree, which also included burglary where swats were spray painted on cars. Oh, cool. Just a upstanding young gentleman then, huh?
Right.
Guess the race. White. The judge, recorder John Barrett, said these offenses are best described as a maelstrom of criminality. This was an invasion of privacy. It was an invasion of the sanctum of the basis on the basis of family life. It causes distress and fear. This was a young family with children. Car first struck at Liverpool Tires in Speakland Road, damaging CCTV cameras and stealing tools. He then handled a stolen Ford Ka registration plates on April 3rd and used them on a stolen car. That day, he was chased by police at high speeds in a stolen Ford, but escaped after abandoning the vehicle. The gang targeted Melrose Motors in St. John's Road, Bootle, on April 5th, with a laptop and car keys were taken. Cheryl Mottram, prosecutor, said swastikas have been painted on various tires. Breck Road Rats, NJ is a grass, and a crude attempt to spell ISIS had all been spray painted across vehicles. These niggas were just painting anything.
Right.
Trump, Black Lives Matter, it's all the same to us.
Everybody gonna get some
swastikas. Right, that's an easy one. Car struck at Best Parts at Magnet Business Park on April 9th, still in a Volkswagen Golf Peugeot. I don't know how you pronounce it. It's 207 and a Mini One. Plus caliper knives. He was seen doing dangerous handbrake turns in the Golf, which was abandoned. Police found the other two cars outside his home. He was just doing shit because he had nothing else to do. Mm-hmm. He took €50,000 Ferrari left in a lockup at a site later that day, which he also left abandoned. The gang visited Rifkin Scrapyard on April 10th, and when Carr took a Ford Transit van, it too was later ditched. Were they like taking these cars and robbing people or something? Maybe that's what something it was. Mr. Akbari, a dad of four from Afghanistan, was working. He's worked as a chef and a taxi driver since coming to England 11 years ago. A neighbor spotted a suspicious man in an unusual van parked outside his house and alerted police. When officers tried to talk Carr down, he held a lock knife to his throat and said, "Watch what happens."
Oh, shit.
Mr. Akbari had saved €5,000 and had borrowed $5,000 from a friend to buy a new taxi to support his now traumatized family. He said his petrified children asked him if the man with the knife would be back. Mr. Akbari said, "Thank God we were not at home. The thought of what might happen is frightening." Carr admitted to 5 burglaries, 6 counts of taking vehicles without consent, handling stolen goods, theft, and possessing an offensive weapon. His 11 previous convictions for 18 offenses include burglary, affray, and possessing knives on 2 occasions. Gary Lawrenson, defendant, said, "It's hard to believe when you hear his record and the catalog of offenses that he is only 18. He said his client's tender age and guilty pleas were the best mitigation, adding, "His immaturity is unbelievable." Mr. Lawrence said, "My instructions are that these offenses were committed out of boredom."
What?
2016, guys, donate white people some problems. The lawyer said Carr was diagnosed with Tourette syndrome at the age of 9. Does that make you a criminal? Get the fuck out of here. Mahmoud Abdul Rauf was out here busting J's in people's face with that shit. He said his girlfriend recently gave birth to a baby girl. This nigga's a father. Come on. Kid ain't got no chance. Ain't got no chance. Mm-mm-mm. And Carr's family hoped this would be a turning point in his life. Recorder Bear handed Carr 2.5 years in a young offenders institution and 3-year driving ban. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Mm-hmm. We'll be back. Look, it's Trump's America. We all just living in it, okay, guys?
Yeah.
But if you've been listening to this show this long, I feel like you should have been adequately prepared for the fact that white people might go white people at any time. All right, so blame white people and you feel free with your guilt. Listen, I don't want any person that voted for Hillary to have a guilty conscience. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody that's black and did whatever the fuck they did with their vote to have a guilty conscience. It ain't on us. We showed up, we showed out, we did what we were supposed to do. White people couldn't get behind the candidate that will keep promoting Barack Obama's agendas, and the country got a referendum, and we gonna get what we deserve, y'all. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I don't know if I'm just saying this because I've been drinking or if it's just because I've dealt with so many trolls over the past few years. Look, a lot of people ain't shit.
A lot.
Okay, there's some well-meaning white people that ain't shit. There's some evil troll ass white people that ain't shit. End of the day, it ain't your fault. for pulling the lever for whatever you pulled it for. Okay, there were more than enough people that just sat home and didn't feel enthusiastic and didn't vote, and there was a lot of people that went and voted, and they voted against their best interest.
Yes, they did.
Because they think, and this is historical, they think the best interest of white people is racism.
Come on, that's how you told me.
Okay, that's it. Any, all these other demographics, look, if you can't win when 8% of, when 92% of black people are voting your way, that ain't black people's fault.
Mm-mm.
Okay? All right, it's definitely not black women's fault. It's not black men's fault. Okay? Latino people, 30% of y'all voted for Trump, so no more, y'all can't say the N-word no more. Y'all gotta cut that shit out, okay? It's enough. That is enough. N-word privilege is revoked. Shout out to my man JL Covan. He said that on Facebook. But yeah, just no more of that. Okay, guys? Cut it out. But yeah, no need for us to feel ashamed. All right, guys, did our thing. Nice effort. We'll get them next time if we're still allowed to vote.
Ain't that the truth? If I'm still allowed to vote, if I ain't out picking in the cotton field, to my nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Stop singing and get the working girl. Yeah, yeah. That's gonna happen to me. Nobody knows but Jesus. that's what I'm gonna be singing.
Yeah, if you looked at Twitter and Facebook and shit this morning when you woke up, if you was black man, I told this joke to Justin. I was like, this is how I felt when you woke up.
Went down to the River Jordan, where John baptized three.
It did.
Where I walked the devil in hell.
That's all you were hearing.
Johnny baptized me. I say,
roll, Jordan, roll. Roll, roll, Jordan, roll. That's how black people woke up this morning.
Yes, honey, with they Martin Luther King fans. Yes.
Black people was at work this morning like, wade in the water.
Yes, they was.
Ezekiel saw the wheel.
Yes.
I guess I go ahead and do these end of the quarter reports before next year when Trump's in, and I'll just be outside tilling up the back of the field for the office.
Me and my old rusty mule will be back here working hard for myself.
Me and my donkey Bessie, I'm gonna be tilling the lower 40.
Yeah, cause
once Master Trump is in.
Come on, I'm in North Carolina. I know, honey.
All right, guys. Look, in the words of Kendrick Lamar, we gonna be all right.
We'll
talk to y'all this Saturday with our feedback. Until then. I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.